Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog in the ant.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my charming, mindful, good-looking. Good-looking. Hi, you Jedi mind-tricked me. I didn't mean to say good looking.
What?
But he is good looking. Frank.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
Hey. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Pretty good. What beer are you about to sip?
I'm about to sip a Jack's Abbey Brewing Company Copper Legend Oktoberfest.
When you take a sip, can you tell me how it is? Because I actually haven't.
Right.
I'm going to have the same thing, but I haven't had any yet.
Oh, that is a delicious Oktoberfest.
Is it? I want to try.
Try it. Try it now. One of us. Yeah. No, it's.
Oh, that's quite good.
Yes, it's excellent.
It's got like a coffee taste to it, almost
a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah, it's got a little bit of a coffee taste. Yeah, I love
or more of like a stout. It feels more like a stout Oktoberfest.
Yeah,
like a creamy light stout.
I know what you mean. Yeah, I do know what you mean. It has sort of a creamy texture to it. Yeah. Have you had Jack's Abbey before? They have a few.
No, I was actually there were quite a few when I was looking at them today in the market, you know, for lack of a better term. But I went with just because it's the Oktoberfest-y season.
Yeah, man.
You know, yeah.
It is that time.
Cool outside and all such things. Yes. Yeah, even though my window is open, you know. Whatever.
Very nice.
Frank, next month.
Yes, sir.
December's Christmas.
Yeah, and you know what comes with Christmas? Star Wars toys.
Star Wars toys. I'm gonna get you a Star Wars toy for Christmas.
Well, it better be a BB-8, $150 BB-8, or nothing.
Would you take a BB gun with the number 8 written on it? That
no.
Partly the shoots to the left. No. No. Okay.
Shoots to the left.
No. Okay. I can't help you then. Yeah, no, you're right, but it's Star Wars.
Shoot your eye out, kid.
Yeah. I'm glad that we made Christmas and Star Wars work with the Christmas story.
We're so good at that. Yeah.
Christmas story? Yeah, Christmas story. Yeah. A film I've never seen.
Oh,
no,
man.
Well, that's not true. I've never seen it from start to finish. I've seen it in, like... all its bits and pieces, but and I get the jokes when people say them, but it's just not the point. My point being,
Star Wars is coming out.
Star Wars is coming before that.
Before Christmas, that's right.
Yep. And so, to cap off our year of Star Wars, I can't believe we've been doing this year of Star Wars.
We've been doing it all year.
We've been literally doing this for
a
year.
This is where it ends.
This is where it
ends. Well, I guess it'll technically
end. Until it begins again.
That's right. Until The Force Awakens. We'll probably do an episode for The Force Awakens.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so it's not quite over yet, but this is the end of our rewatch of the whole saga with commentary.
I'm excited.
Me too.
Okay,
me
so too. Let's get this commentating starty parted.
Yeah, that's what he said. Commentating party. Tardy. Yep. Party.
I said it that way on purpose. I did not.
I think before we do that, let's just let people know they can find us at Beer with Geeks on Twitter and Facebook.com/BeerWithGeeks and BeerWithGeeks.com and BeerWithGeeks@gmail.com. If they have any thoughts, let us know what you think about the upcoming Star Wars films. Well, let us know what you've thought about these commentaries. Should we do more of them?
Less of them.
Less of them. Never do them again.
A neutral amount. Yeah.
Let us know what you think. And check us out over at SupergirlTVTalk.com. If you have any interest in the Supergirl TV show that's now on the air on CBS, please check it on out and let us know what you think about that show as well. Supergirl TV Talk. It's our show about the Supergirl CBS show. Good stuff. Good stuff. But we're talking Star Wars tonight.
Indeed. We are talking Star Wars.
We are watching it. We are watching it via the new digital releases. Right? So these are the newest versions that exist right now as of, you know, fall 2015. The thing about these is that these start right with the Lucasfilm logo. So if you want to be synced up with us, you're going to want, if you're watching the digital version, you're awesome, you're good. Start at zero, we'll be good to go. If you're starting, if you're watching Blu-ray, DVD, anything like that, or an older digital copy, you're going to want to start it right after the 20th Century Fox logo.
I'm at 0:01.
Okay. On the, okay.
On the TV.
Just to be precise, thank
on
you.
The Mike TV.
Sounds good. Mike TV.
Ooh. Mike TV. I just watched Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Man. That's nice.
Yeah. Yes, I watched Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, not Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Everybody who's out there just went, no, he means Willy Wonka. Mm. No, I watched Charlie because I like Tim Burton and Johnny Depp.
I don't like that version as much.
Yes, I know. And I wanted to see if it was valid at any point. A lot of the times it is. It's quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just not the original.
It's not.
You know what is an original? This movie.
Yes.
It's an original sequel.
Yep,
to a
an
sequel.
Original sequel.
To a sequel.
Yep, totally.
So
let's do it.
Let's do it. I'm going to hit play, but before, because we starting on the Lucasfilm thing, will you please join me in... Brum-bum, brum-bum, brum-bum.
All right, so we're going to hit play now in
terrible.
3, 2, 1, go. And there's the Lucasfilm logo for us.
Lucasfilm LTD.
Oh, yes, it's very limited.
Goodbye, Lucasfilm LTD, and black screen.
Long time ago, when these words pop up on that screen, on that big
people
screen
are gonna cheer.
In December, I'm going to cheer so hard.
People are going to cheer, and I'm going to be like, shut up, I can't hear, I'm not going to hear John Williams. And that's going to make me mad.
I mean, if they do it right, you'll still be able to hear it.
Yeah, that, oh, true story. It's like a whimper, it's like a...
Yeah.
Do you think they changed the star field?
Yes, they did.
They did change the star field. This one's either many more stars.
More stars.
Yeah.
Yeah. First of all, they've redone the star field every time that they've reissued it and done a new.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Every time they've redone the opening credits, they redo the star field. So yeah, it's a little bit different. I've seen, you know, side by side screenshots. They did it with the other films. I assume they did it here too.
This is the first scroll to start with somebody's name too. Luke Skywalker has returned to his home planet.
It has appeared in Civil War. Yeah, it was the first one.
This is the first one to someone's name, because now that you're on the third, you're like, please know who these characters are.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
How do you feel about them just looping the Death Star plot over again?
You know, I don't mind it.
I think it makes sense.
I think so, too.
If you're going to cause terror throughout the galaxy, it's a big place. Galaxies are huge. So if you can traverse through them, naturally you'd want multiple Death Stars in multiple corners of the galaxy.
So to me, it makes sense that there would have already been plans for a second Death Star.
Yes, and that's why it's so near completion, as opposed to the last one that was taking 20 years to build. Mm-hmm. So the one that got destroyed, it just happened to be the first operational Death Star.
Exactly, but this was like, I mean, look, this one's like more than 3/4 complete, right? Like, they're
and they improved upon it in different ways, like the weapons field, as we know later in the film, the weapons are operational on it.
Weapons are operational, the it's harder to destroy it. Yeah. There's not just the one exhaust port that can do it in. So there's a few upgrades,
which would mean why it's also a little behind schedule, because after that first one blew up, they'd have to go back and be like,
possible.
Oh, I've got to change all the inner workings of this thing, you know now.
Or it was already, like, let's say it was already being, you know,
that guy looks like George Clooney.
Already being
that pilot on the left hand side looked like George Clooney.
How many years after Star Wars was this supposed to take? After the Battle of Yavin,
5.
This is. I thought
it's 5.
I thought Empire. I thought.
Oh, that's 5. So this is another 3 years.
This is 8 to 10 years afterwards.
I think so. Yeah.
So 8. Let's say it's 8. Conservatively, let's say it's 8. If it's 8 years later, that's enough time to have. You know, this one would have been under construction already when the first one was destroyed, and it might be enough time. Let's say theoretically, to change the design so that they don't have that same flaw.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean? Yeah, so, yeah, I agree. There are two scenes in this film that I love quite a bit, and for all reckoning, I shouldn't love them as much as I do. One is his opening scene with Vader.
Oh, it's epic.
It's epic, but also the Emperor's arrival, which is basically the same scene with another person.
True, yeah.
I, for whatever reason, even as a kid, these scenes captured my imagination. I'm not a big military guy or anything like that. It just liked, I think Vader's entrance in this leads you to him being more terrifying than ever before.
Yeah, this is
like all of it. Like the smoke and the, I can't remember this admiral's name for the life of me.
Is it Admiral Piet?
No, it's not.
Commander.
Yeah. I'm here to put you back on schedule. He's not going to say his name either.
No, Vader's, I don't think he does.
Vader's too good for that.
He does. He does sometimes, though. We talked about an Empire, how he, you know.
Yeah,
like,
I meant the him right now. Yeah,
yeah.
But he does. Yeah. Well, with the pointing, loves the point. He's very shiny in this movie. If you've noticed,
he's very shiny.
Yeah, Vader's very shy, and I like this sheened Vader. Almost like he's getting older. He doesn't go out as much as he used to.
Yeah.
So he doesn't. He's not as battle hardened because he's slowing down in his own way. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or maybe his helmet just went through the cleaner,
or that, you know,
something like that.
Yeah.
Stop pointing.
It's the only way he can articulate himself. Okay.
Yeah. The Emperor's not as forgiving as I am. That's great.
That's a great line. Also, those stormtroopers.
Hmm.
Maybe is it here? Yeah, the stormtroopers are painted.
Really?
They are a painting.
What?
They are a painting.
That's amazing.
It's a matte painting. Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and also, I think it'll come back again when the Emperor arrives.
There's a matte painting.
That some of them are real, and then the rest are a matte painting.
That's so cool.
Yeah. This is before you could digitally insert extras and stuff like that, so.
But they look so real.
They
even
do.
Today, they look
they
so
do.
Real.
They do.
I would have it's never have known Corey, that man. If you didn't say that. Ugh. That's a matte painting.
Yes, that's a matte painting.
Yeah, that is not. It's a large door. They build that door.
Yes, they did.
It's a large.
Yes, they
door.
Did. That is, I mean, that's one of the things I'm looking forward to a lot in The Force Awakens is the kind of return to form with you know, a nicer blend of practical and digital effects.
Well, I was just thinking about this. It's interesting that you said that. I was listening to people talk about Mad Max Fury Road recently and how, like, a lot of younger directors saying George Miller took us to school, you know, this is how you do an action film. It looks all practical, blah, 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 all this stuff. And I'm like, well, there's something to be said for this. We went through this era of we can make it all digital and blah, blah, blah. But there's something to be said for this. We can actually still do it as people.
Yeah.
It's still going to be good and arguably even more believable. And to use that CG sparingly where it's necessary. That's why like Jurassic Park still captures people's imaginations. It's got 900 effect shot. It's a 900 shot film. Mm-hmm. That's Mad Max was 3,000.
Right.
Like that's, but it's incredible that a film with that little action in its own way still captures people's imaginations with no, like barely any CG, stuff like that. And so I'm excited to see Star Wars that way too.
Yep. Yep. I agree. I think that CG is amazing. And George Lucas was really at the forefront, obviously. I mean, with ILM and everything at the forefront of developing computer-generated graphics. And we're now at a place where, you know, a lot of computer-generated graphics are indistinguishable from practical effects.
Yeah, sometimes people are like, oh, it's all CG. And you're like, actually, that was all practical.
Right. Or the reverse
or
even,
vice
right?
versa. Yeah.
If you don't realize something was CG that was.
Yeah, that's right. You see a lot of reversal of that.
That happens a lot. But I think that there is still something to be said for the realism of practical effects and the just the way things move and the way things look on camera. It can make a difference in some places, especially with action scenes, especially with, you know, things like R2-D2 or, you know, like, that kind of thing. You can tell the difference. So I think it's important to have a blend so that you can't tell the difference. Have a really good CG blended with
it's indiscernible so that it feels real.
Yeah.
Right. I agree.
When there is good CG blended with practical effects, like Jurassic World this past summer, I'm very sure. Obviously, most of the dinosaurs were CG, right? But I am very sure that there are shots in that movie where there were effects that, to my eye, looked like practical effects. I'm sure that there were the look of practical and we're actually digital. And part of that illusion, part of keeping that illusion alive, is having the blend of both of them together. So you basically stop guessing what's what, and you just accept what you see.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree with that. These Gamorrean, the pig soldiers.
Yeah, the Gamorrean guards.
Yeah. They've always reminded me, since a little kid, Maleficent's guards in Sleeping Beauty.
I don't remember what they look like.
They look like Gamorrean guards.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they like pigs?
Yeah. I'm fairly certain. At least the brain in my brain is telling me that they are. And every time I see them, I'm like, Maleficent's just going to come out of the corner. But it's actually Bib Fortuna that comes out. Is that his name?
Yeah, Bib Fortuna.
Yeah. Yeah. I always get Bib Fortuna and O Fortuna mixed up. Oh, Fortuna. Yeah.
Do you know what Jabba's favorite kind of cookie is?
No.
Bib Fortuna cookies.
What?
Like fortune cookies.
Oh.
Ew. Not.
Ew. No. Shut up.
Oh, it's everyone's favorite slimy rat friend.
Mm-hmm. Eight people are inside Jabba, right? I think it took eight people to work. I think it took eight people to work Jabba.
I can't remember how many it was. I thought it was. I know it's at least four. I didn't think it was eight.
I can't remember. I'm not going to look it up, though.
I think it's four. It's like four little people. I think like one for each arm, one for the tail, maybe one for the head, and another one to do the eyes and the mouth.
That sounds right. I can't remember. Doesn't
it's, matter. It's somewhere. It's at least four or five, but it might be as many as eight. Yeah.
Who knows? Well, probably a lot of people, but I'm not going to. Mm-hmm. The internet. If only we lived in an age where we could look things up.
Well, we only get two lookups when we do these commentaries. We each get two lookups.
That's right. And I actually already used a lookup for the Gamorrean guards because I didn't want to call them pig. I wasn't going to say anything because you didn't notice, but I feel bad. So I already used one. And we're barely.
You're so honest.
We're barely 10 minutes into the movie.
That's right. We got three more to go.
Captain Solo. There's a. Are you reading the Star Wars comic right now?
Mm-hmm.
Did you read this? One of the latest ones. I can't remember which one it is.
Is it the one after Han's big reveal of his? I don't want to spoil it for anybody listening.
I don't want
to
spoil. I want to talk about Luke's story anyway, where he's on Nar Shaddaa and he comes across the hut.
Yes.
The other hut.
Yes.
But he's like a muscular hut.
Yes.
And I love it.
Yes.
He looks so awesome because every time you see a hut, they're always like big fat slugs. Mm-hmm. But this one, he has like. Giant arm, like muscles.
That's
in his arms
really
and
interesting.
Pecs. It's very interesting.
I like that they did that.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah. So it's more to like Jabba is just a fat slob. Like
exactly.
It's not like just part of his
Jabba
species.
And Zero the Hutt, right? We met Zero the Hutt in Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. And he was also.
That's right, I forgot about Zero.
We'll talk about Truman Capote. And he was also a fat slob. He was Jabba's nephew, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was also a fat slob. But yeah, you're right. I thought that was cool to have a different take on Hutts. I like. Seeing that in, like, these EU, even though it's not really the EU anymore, but you know what I mean? These things that are outside the films.
It's really kind of the EU now still, isn't it?
Yeah, sort of, except now what was called the EU has been...
Legends.
Legends, and it's sort of, some of it's folded into the continuity and some of it's not. And
I don't think any of it is. They ditched all of it, except for Clone Wars.
Except for Clone Wars, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But yes, you're right. The rest is just, it's all legends. And it was like, oh, yes, these are things that are, these are stories that were floating around that, you know, are it's like.
Why does that bother you?
It does bother
like,
me.
Oh, it sounded like it bothered
you. No,
it doesn't. Okay, that's what I was like. How could you be okay with that, but not be okay with Crisis on Infinite Earths?
Oh, no.
You know,
no,
like,
no,
or vice,
no,
you know what
no,
I mean?
No, it's fine. No, it's like, it's like. It's I'm trying to think of the word. It's sort of like those. These are the urban legends that are floating around,
which is kind of
during
fun.
The yeah, exactly.
Fine with me.
But anyway, one of the things that I was enjoyed about the EU and now these legends is kind of how it does add color to a lot of stuff. You know, when you see like, oh yes, you can have you know a Bothan who's like this, or you can have a Rodian who's like that, or you know,
mm-hmm.
they're not just Greedo is not the only. Rodian, and they're not all like Greedo, necessarily.
Yes, I
they
agree.
Can all be different, and they can have different personalities and different facial features and different, you know, attributes and that kind of thing. So, I always like that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I like people.
You know what I don't like?
You don't like that Bib Fortuna is a very ugly Twi'lek where all the women are beautiful Twi'leks?
No, I don't like Jedi Rocks.
Oh, neat, nay. Nah. Now, it's funny because I'd spoken previously about not seeing the original cuts for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them by design I've never seen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have seen Jedi without
Without Jedi Rocks. Song.
Yes.
Yeah.
But having seen this first, it just feels so empty. It's
I prefer it
strange.
Empty, buddy. I gotta say, I prefer it empty. I do not like this. This goes on for far too long. The characters look horribly CG and outdated at this point, even though it was redone for this edition. I do not like this number one bit. I have never liked it. In fact, I usually skip it. I usually fast forward a little bit ahead until right here where Jabba starts yanking on her chain.
Yeah. Quit yanking my chain. Exactly.
I have never cared for this number, even before the change. I never did care for the number.
Well, her dancing, I never felt real, like, when you watch the original, never really matches up to, like, what's being played.
Yeah.
And so, at least they gave her a beat to dance to and then to try to escape with and all that. That's the part
that's
that
true.
I...
That much is true, but I don't care. Because I just don't need, like... It feels like, have you ever watched any of the Marx Brothers movies or any like comedy movies from like the 40s, like during World War II or shortly after even? And they always put in a musical number, awkwardly placed and a number
that
nobody
wants.
And
that's what it feels like to you? Well, if Star Wars is based on serials of the 40s, then
but I'm not talking about I'm not talking about sci-fi serials. I'm talking about
but it's that of that era.
Yeah, I still don't like it. I don't like it then. I don't like it here.
Yeah,
I don't think it was necessary.
Yeah, I agree. But
it's just my opinion.
I mean, it feels weird to have. Could you have filmed it differently? Yes, of course. To make
yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, but I'm not gonna. You know, I can love the hell out of this movie and still. Still have criticisms for this for many years, I should mention. For a while, was my favorite movie. My favorite Star Wars movie.
Mine too, for a long time. And sometimes I still, like, there are parts of it that I'm like,
yeah.
But there's quite a bit in it that I do like, and so that's why it kind of sticks up there.
I have softened on it a little bit, but it's still, I mean, it's still, I will watch a, you know, slightly less than perfect Star Wars movie any day, you know. I still think it's better than probably most of the prequels, if not all the prequels.
Oh yeah, I think the first three films are better than any of the prequel films. Yeah,
but it's not my number one anymore.
Yeah, well, I think it caters to a younger crowd, I think, than Empire does.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
With the little
Here's him.
Laughing guy and what's his name? I can't remember his name. The little rat
Salacious
thing.
Crumb.
Yeah, Salacious Crumb. Thank you. You know, it caters to that little bit of a younger crowd, but not too much.
And with the Ewoks too.
Yeah, the Ewoks.
But I feel like it gets too much. I just got a big hint of coffee when I took a sip of that beer. By the way.
Yeah, you know what I'm
talking
about.
I really
did
in that sip. Yeah. I think that it gets too much criticism though for the Ewoks thing because people. I think people are a little too cynical, and they say, like, oh, Lucas, you know, just sold out, and he wanted to sell toys, so he made a bunch of teddy bears, you know, put a bunch of teddy bears in the toys.
I don't think that's exactly right. I think this idea of, like, you know, it's this Frodo versus Mordor thing where even the smallest person can make the difference, and, you know, like, in his case, it's literally the smallest, most cutest thing you can imagine.
Yeah.
It has made a difference. Right. You know, something that shouldn't, by any stretch, be terrifying. He has... I don't think he maybe... did make them terrifying, but if you watch that Ewok scene, which we'll get to, it's like they're going
to
eat them.
They're about to eat them, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, like, we'll get there.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, it's Lando Calrissian.
Lando Calrissian.
I finally watched the first episode of season 2 of Rebels, BT Dubs.
Oh, it started?
Yes.
Oh, I need to get it.
Well, I've only seen the first, episode. They released it on the app back in June.
Oh, okay.
And I only finally got around to watching it. Okay. And so I'll watch the rest when I get a chance.
This right here, when this thing eats that other thing and then burps, unnecessary. That's just Lucas wanting.
Yes, that's the
a burp.
That's the Well, that's because this director was more of a. I can't remember his name.
Richard Marquand.
Thank you. Is more of a yes man to Lucas.
I'm not sure. I can't remember. Someone will correct me, please. Someone tweet at us and let me know. I don't know if that burp was in the original version.
Well, it was in the '90s version.
It was.
Yeah.
Okay. Then it probably was there for a while.
Yeah.
Although not necessarily because they added
Jedi Rock. So
yeah. You're right. You're right. Someone tweeted us and let us know.
But anyway, it's quite that opening is quite good now, but I can't remember why I was telling you about
I'm sorry.
Now I've totally lost it. It'll come back to me, maybe. I do like Jabba's palace. It's this whole idea of almost like the Caligula's
yes, palace. I love that.
It's the idea where they even just all, they don't go home. They just crash in the
throne
room.
They just stay there and there's just all
and
the
they
debauchery.
Just wake up and they wake up and debauchery continues.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's just a never-ending party.
Yep. And it's then they, you know, somebody dies, they laugh, they get back to what they were doing.
Exactly.
It is pretty terrible. And it doesn't feel terrible because you're watching a bunch of aliens do it.
Yeah,
so
but if
it
were people.
If it was people, then it would be
yeah.
it would be different. Or yeah. if they were all like dogs and cats or something like that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. This effect is very 80s.
Yes, it is.
The shining light and
but
stuff
it kinda
like
works.
That. Oh, I think it works just
you
fine.
Know, it still kinda works.
The prodigal son has returned, he's all shiny and stuff. I like how she doesn't even bother to like try to catch him. He just like she like lets him
He'll
land
live.
On the hard floor. If he survived that, then he could fall down.
Yeah, exactly.
So funny. Clearly, she didn't know about the dangers of concussions. Thank you, Will Smith, in your movie for telling me about it. I do like the scene very much. I like her the little blinky light on top of her helmet,
yes.
actually, very much.
I had the action figure of this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool. I think I might have. No, I didn't. No, yeah. I didn't. I had speeder bike Leia.
Mm.
Just kidding. Another Leia in a helmet. Yeah, Leia wears a lot of helmets in this movie. Yeah,
that is true.
Great
reveal.
It was. It's very impressive of her to take that off, and her hair is just like slightly tousled enough.
I know.
You know, but he can't see anyway, so
I know.
She can be as sexy as she wants. But he's like, I'm blind, so
that's
good call. I think she looks the best in this film.
I was about to say that. This
yeah,
is, this is Carrie
I think
Fisher.
Carrie Fisher kind of grew into herself in this film, though. This. She was also forced to lose quite a, not a lot of weight. But
yeah, she was forced to lose
for,
a lot. Of
yeah,
for each of the, I mean, for each of the roles.
Yeah.
But yeah, she looks fantastic, and she, I would say this is also, I would more importantly, I think this is maybe her best performance.
Yes, I think it's her best one. Yeah, I agree.
And she gets to kill Jabba the Hutt, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, she's got some pretty great stuff to
Kick
do
ass
in
chick.
This movie. Yeah, she's got great stuff to do in this movie. This is probably Harrison Ford's weakest performance. This is
I would agree. He was
kind
of phoning it in for this one.
He was phoning it in for this movie.
He did not want to do this movie.
No, he wanted Han to die
he wanted Han
in
to die.
Carbonite.
Yes. He thought that for story reasons, it made more sense for Han to die. He thought that the film needed that that beat, and it needed that.
Clearly it didn't.
No, it didn't. But he thought the saga needed like some loss. Like Luke had to fail. At something.
Somewhere, yeah.
And that's what he thought.
That moment would have been too hard. I don't think Luke would have recovered from
yeah,
that. I think he would have turned to the dark side.
I think losing, watching Obi-Wan die kind of served
yep.
that purpose.
Yes, there were. Well, even though Obi-Wan becomes a ghost.
Yeah, but we didn't know that when he died. We didn't know that when he died. But it's also like he did learn from Obi-Wan's
the Chewy stash. It's back.
Yeah. Yeah, once you see the Chewy stash, you cannot
you
see
can't it. Can't unsee it. I do like Chewie's look in this film, like this ruffled, like he's a little bit
mm-hmm.
grizzled, like I've been doing this.
Yeah, and his hair is like puffier.
Yeah, it is.
Bushier.
It's a little 80s.
It is a little bit of an 80s bouffant going on there.
Yeah. I see it more as like they've been searching and searching and searching and they've been working to like get Han back.
Yeah.
He's not grooming himself the way that he used to.
Yeah, it's definitely not 5 years for this movie because Han wasn't in Carbonite for 5 years.
Yeah,
I think you're right
three.
With three. I think you're right with three.
I think it was three.
Right.
Because there's
you're
a lot
right.
of there's a lot of work for Luke to do in between Empire and Jedi. You got to give
yes,
him enough time
true.
To do that.
I do find it so the other thing that Han Harrison Ford wanted to get out of this because he wanted to do more Indiana Jones movies.
Oh, he wanted to do more than the three.
He did. Well, this is before
Last Crusade.
Yeah, and I think it didn't Temple of Doom come out in 84. I'll use my look. You use one of yours right now.
Okay,
but I think Temple of Doom is 84. So I think this is between the first and the second one.
Okay.
And so he didn't want to waste his time with more Star Wars. He felt like that was done. And so he wanted to go do more Indiana Jones.
Mm. would have liked to have seen more indies, but if you're looking at like quality of films of like the three, I think Star Wars has a better overall rating.
Right, but he likes Indiana Jones more than he likes Han Solo.
I know, but I think that like for his maybe his career.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean yeah. By the way, it was Raiders was 81, Temple of Doom was 84, and then 89 was Last Crusade.
Yeah.
So.
I'm sorry, say that again. 84 was Temple of Doom.
Were you staring at at Leia?
I was staring at everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody.
This is 83, so this is before Temple of Doom, which is 84.
Oh, okay, thank you. That's what I didn't hear the Raiders part. That's what the
Raiders was 81.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yep.
That's what I needed to know. It's just the shove. Luke Skywalker has, I've said this a billion times to you on and off air. Luke Skywalker has one of the best character arcs of any character in any saga.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, if you watch, particularly if you watch one, then if you watch New Hope, then Jedi, it's pretty remarkable.
It's a huge change.
Yeah. It's even bigger one if you watch Revenge of the Sith than Jedi.
Yeah, he was just crying.
He's
and then
just
suddenly
crying, and he's just this man.
Actually, yeah. It's not that different from Forrest, and he's whining.
No, he's got a huge progression. And he's really smart, but really dumb.
A wise and powerful Jabba. Let's get some power converters at Tashi Station.
Tashi Station.
I have an external hard drive, a Toshiba external hard drive that I have. When I plug it into my computer,
it's called Tashi Station.
It shows up as Tashi.
That's awesome. Awesome. That makes me happy.
Yep.
Luke's clothes are not the most comfortable looking Jedi clothes,
especially for a desert planet.
I've talked about my love of the Jedi robes and how comfy they look.
Yes, that does not look comfy.
No, it's not a comfy.
It's wearing all
look.
Black, many layers on a desert planet doesn't look quite fun.
No, I want to assume the black is because of his father.
Sure.
Yeah,
I think it's. I mean, in story reasons, I don't know. Out of story reasons, symbolic reasons, because this is a darker Luke than we've seen before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but in terms of in story, I couldn't tell you a reason.
No, it doesn't give you one. But I'm going to say that he's trying to bridge this gap between Jedi and he's going to try to bridge this gap between Jedi and Sith.
Yeah,
because he's got the vest part of the Jedi outfit going on, but he's in black, and it's also reminiscent of this like monastic Catholic priest look.
Yeah, so, that's true. That's true.
You know, all of that. That's how I took it even as a kid.
Like, yeah.
He's in all black and he's calm and orderly and he's got the wisdom and like all these different things. And so I did not like the Rancor fight when I was a kid.
No, and even now it only kind of does it for me.
It's not
my favorite.
For being such a gruesome beast, he conquers it pretty easily.
Yeah, and it does feel like a little bit of a... Some of the shots...
It's very odd.
I mean, it's a little bit of a cop-out. I mean, okay, I have to...
It's almost
I do understand.
As it's like a TV fight now.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, when you look back on it. At the time, though, like, this was done with a high-speed puppet. So, like, they shot it at very, very high speed so it would play back in slow-mo and give it this look of you know...
Movement.
Yeah, and but of size and weight and heft.
Yeah.
You know, when it moves slowly, it looks like it's a big thing. And
yeah, it's
so,
very
but it's a little hand puppet. Like, there's someone's hand in there, and they just move it around real fast, and they shoot it at a very, very high frame rate, so that when they slow it down to normal frame rate, it looks like slow motion.
It's very interesting.
I
love the design. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do think it's, yeah, it is, you know, based on the technology we have today, it does look a little bit of a cop-out. I will agree with people who don't like this movie. One of their criticisms.
Hold on 1 second before you go there. Do you think he uses the Force when he throws that, or is he just a really good shot?
I think he just threw it.
Yeah, I think he's a really good shot.
I think he just threw it, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like a Force move. All right, anyway, continue. People's criticisms.
People's criticisms of this film include, there's the toy, you know, like the Ewok stuff, and that Lucas was making it too childish. Other people say... And they mean it as a criticism. I don't necessarily take it that way. That this is kind of the beginning of where you can see Lucas making things very cheesy all the time, and that ultimately came to fruition in the prequels.
Yeah, no, that's not untrue.
I do see that. I do see that. I mean, Jedi Rocks is one reason. Here, though, like, this is sort of on its own. It's like, oh man, every monster has something that loves it. You know, like nothing is unloved in the universe. Its keeper loved it. You know, and is weeping for it and mourning it. That's on its own is sort of like a wow. That's sort of profound. But when you take it in context of everything of the prequels and all these different like unnecessary moments that happen, it's sort of like, oh, this is the first one of those. This is the first time that he did like, oh, this is so profound and deep and symbolic, and it's like, it's a little heavy-handed.
That's so true.
That said, I don't mind it in this movie. It's only in the context of the prequels too that I start to see it as like, oh, this was him trying to be profound and just being really over the top with it.
They look good on screen together. Just saying.
Luke and Han.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. they have good screen. They have good screen presence together as a unit.
Yeah, as a team.
Particularly the two of them. Carrie Fisher does, especially with the three of them. But I think for whatever reason, the two of them really know how to fill the screen correctly. Yeah. And so I do feel bad for her. It's gross.
It's gross. It's uncomfortable. It's everything. It's horrible.
This was added. Yeah.
Yeah. There were not this many Banthas.
I like that there were so many of them there.
Yeah.
So that there's no tracks in the sand.
And also that these dunes look like the most 1990s video game cutscene thing I've ever seen in my life. They don't look real at all.
No, it doesn't.
I think the worst changes were made to this film
Yes, I think this film has the most egregious changes out of the I agree.
Out of the special editions, this got the worst treatment. Unfortunately. I do hate to say that because this really, like I said, for years was my favorite Star Wars film. Nowadays it depends on how you look at it. If you're talking about favorites versus what you think is objectively the best, my favorites are A New Hope and then Empire and then this. But in terms of what I think is objectively the best, it's Empire and then A New Hope and then this.
Yeah. Objectively the best as in it is the best story, structure, best well filmed, blah, blah, blah,
overall best film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You give it to Empire.
Empire. Yeah. Yeah. As I learn more about film and the filmmaking process and, you know, film criticism and all that, I, you know, over the years I've matured and I look back and I'm like, I think that Empire actually is the best movie out of these, a critical level.
This movie has a grinding halt of a pace in the middle of the film. Once they befriend the Ewoks, it just shuts down.
It has pacing problems. It has, as you so eloquently said, last time we did one of these, you said it has third act problems. I agree with you on that.
It's got third act problems.
I can't remember where that's from.
It's when we went to go see Kumail.
Oh, Kumail Nanjiani.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
third act problems.
He does this bit about how his family came into like 200 videotapes.
200 new movies?
Anyway, Kumail Nanjiani is a fantastic stand-up comedian. Go check him out. He's from Silicon Valley. If you watch that on HBO, he's excellent.
No, he's from Pakistan. But, Frank.
Also that, yes. Yeah. Also from Pakistan, that's true.
Jabba, if you let me go and kill everyone else, I'm fine with that.
We'll be cool.
We'll be fine. That's a good pose right there. That's definitely Luke being like, if I put up my leg like this,
defiant,
I will look more badass.
Defiant Luke.
Luke on purpose. We know that much about Luke. He may be tough in all these things now, but he's still a little farm boy who tries.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Wow, could you not be any more obvious, Lando? God. This was great because him not showing up with the lightsaber and all of this stuff to Jabba's palace originally, because he could have easily have gone to Jabba's palace, killed everybody, and, you know, with the lightsaber, been on his way with Han. Like, I think it would have worked that way. But from a story standpoint, it's very wise because he's now making a show of he gave Jabba an out. Mm-hmm. You know, he's making a show. This is the Rebels. This is Luke Skywalker. Yep. Do not mess with us. All of this stuff. He's making a stand. From a filmmaking standpoint, it's very wise because, as far as we know from Empire, he doesn't have a lightsaber anymore.
Right.
So this is a great reveal up until that moment. Yes. And not only is it a new lightsaber, it's green.
A different color than you've never seen before.
So much new information. Boba Fett.
Yeah.
All that stuff is quite good. I wish he had better fight choreography instead of him just wildly swinging with the lightsaber. So I'm really looking forward to him fighting just a little bit with the lightsaber in the new film, just a little bit better than what he's doing now.
I have a feeling we'll be happy with that.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that, because one thing I think you can say about...
Oh, no, goodbye, Boba Fett. Good thing you have a...
out like a chump.
Good thing you have a rocket pack to get out of the Sarlacc pit.
Oh, wait.
Oh, but you do. Oh, we'll just... It's okay. We'll just wait
and
for you to remember that.
Leia takes her revenge.
Kind of brutal.
When they took them a while to shoot the scene, obviously. And one of the first times they did it, she's wearing heels, and she accidentally stepped on the head of the guy who was inside the tail. Her heel went right through the foam that makes up his body.
Yow.
And went right into the head of the guy.
Yow.
So then they had to reinforce it with some wood or something, or some harder foam, whatever, to make sure she wouldn't step on the guy's head.
Yeesh. Like she didn't, like, kick him in the eye. Like,
I know.
His eye or
I know,
something.
Right?
Yeesh.
Workplace hazard.
Yeah. What were you saying before?
That Jabba goes out like a chump?
Before I interrupted you with my Boba Fett comment.
I honestly don't remember. It doesn't really matter.
Okay.
One thing that bothers me a little bit about this film is the...
Necessary beak of the Sarlacc.
No,
pit.
That never bothered me. I don't really care about the...
Why would he have teeth on the side? It just doesn't make sense.
I don't care.
That was good deflection.
I don't really care. Oh, one thing... I remember now. One thing you can say with certainty, I think, about Star Wars is that in chronological order, as you go on, and you go from 4, 5, 6 to 1, 2, 3,
mm-hmm.
The lightsaber choreography only gets better.
Yes,
as it goes
every
on.
Single time.
You see it the most in the biggest difference, I should say, in the original trilogy, where from the first movie where they're very stilted and very like, this is a heavy samurai sword,
mm-hmm.
to, you know, one-handed moves in Empire, and now Luke being a little more, even more mobile.
Able
to move around with it, and we'll see more of that later on. And then once you get to episodes 1, 2, and 3, you know, it's a whole other level of just mobility and dexterity and skill with this weapon and ability to move around. And it really is choreography at that point. It's like, mm-hmm. it is almost like a dance.
Yeah, I agree. There are moments in particularly in his fight with Vader that are quite good, especially consider how little David Prowse could move. It's not someone else besides David Prowse, though. I can't remember his name.
It's not David Prowse in this movie.
No, it's not. It's,
he was, I think it might be him for a little. It is him for a little bit. It is him.
David
for
Prowse
usually
gets all the credit, and I can't remember who the other guy is.
I can't remember who it was either.
I'm not going to look it up, though. Other guy.
Sorry, other guy.
This is,
we're sorry.
This is why he doesn't get the credit, because people don't bother looking it up.
That's right. They're like, I only have one lookup left. I'm not going to use it yet.
Yep.
No,
even off Tatooine yet. I can't use my other lookup.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is a good story to tell, though. David Prowse was accused, and it's still unconfirmed.
Yes, I know the story.
He was accused of having revealed the secret that Darth Vader was Luke's father after Empire. Before Empire came out, but after it was shot. He was accused of having revealed that secret, and a lot of people in the crew thought that it was him who revealed it. George thought it was him that revealed it. A bunch of people thought so. And even though he protested and said, no, it wasn't me. Someone else leaked it. George essentially never forgave him for that. And when he came back to do episode 6, the story goes that Richard Marquand was not particularly nice to David Prowse.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably because George had kind of told him, like, oh, you know, he's...
Right, being,
you know,
unfriendly to this man.
Yeah, he wasn't, he, you know, whatever. Told him that I think he gave away my secret, and I, you know, I'm not in great terms with him right now. So David Prowse had a pretty miserable time filming this movie. He will be the first to say he didn't really enjoy some of those movies. So, okay, those are, yeah, those stormtroopers are painted.
That's amazing.
The ones, so in the kind of upper right corner, yep. Those two sections are real, but then you see they're very, very white in the bottom right and then all the way on the left.
Yeah.
All of them are like a very different white than the ones that are.
Oh, yeah.
So they were painted.
But those guys are real.
Now these guys are all real. Yeah, these guys are all real now. But in that wide shot, it was just one quadrant of them were real and the rest were all painted.
Oh, that's amazing.
And I never noticed it until it was pointed out to me.
Oh, the Emperor's theme. It's fantastic.
It's so good.
Yeah. It's first instance of male chorus in Star Wars.
Oh, that's right. One. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love the image of this shriveled old man
yes.
who even Darth Vader is subservient to.
Yes.
The giant. It was quite a good idea.
Oh, it was a brilliant idea.
It's funny that you can actually kind of tell that he's a younger. It is Ian McDiarmid as a younger man.
You know, I never could tell that it was a younger man.
No, never at the time, but only just because like the way his mouth, he moves quite quickly. If you watch,
That's true. I guess that's true.
It's a young man moving mouth. Yeah, and it's only something that I would even notice just because I'm not listening with. There's no sound.
Yeah,
so I'm looking at this as a purely visual.
Yeah. Right. Film. Right. Right.
And so these are the things I noticed. But it's interesting that even as a visual film, you know, if you have never seen any Star Wars, you know who the good guys are. You know who the bad guys
are. Oh, absolutely.
These play out purely on a visual level mm-hmm. and only are things added with the script. It's picture specific.
Yes.
R2 did not get trapped in the swamp this time.
That's true.
Do you feel like Yoda died in this because they didn't want him giving away too much exposition, so they needed a way out?
No.
Because otherwise there's really no other reason for him to pass away.
Yeah, but to say, like, oh, we have to kill him, otherwise he's going to give stuff away, is like, but you have control over not making him give stuff away. You're writing the movie.
Yeah, but it's like one of those, like, well, why didn't you just call him, you know, or why didn't you just go see him, or something, you know, like one of those.
Yeah. I don't know why they chose to have Yoda die. I am noticing for the first time that I do see he does look.
He looks sick.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, he moves more sickly.
Yep.
Yeah, which I always noticed. But there's some discoloration on his face.
Yes, there's some
red. And I never noticed that before now.
Yeah, particularly around his eyes. He's like
eyelids
like puffy-ish.
Yeah, I never noticed that before now.
Yeah.
His whole face actually looks
the double wrinkled chin, turkey neck kind of thing going on. Yeah.
I never noticed. I guess
this scene particularly is well done as a puppet with the whole body.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. His bed is so cute.
Even though he's dying.
Yeah, he's still so cute.
I always think of how he looks in Empire as like my reference in my mind of what Yoda looks like. And I don't remember him looking quite so. I don't know what the word is, but just, you know, so
sickly.
Sickly, yeah.
Yeah.
Then I am a Jedi.
Oh, no. You don't retract. You don't require training, but you're not a Jedi. It looks just like mixed messages. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's that I think the reason why they would have killed him is because Luke needed to do this on his own.
Yes.
He couldn't have any more
backup.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I guess Obi-Wan as a Force Ghost is there for exposition. So killing him off for the reason of exposition doesn't make sense.
And Yoda's a Force Ghost at the end of the movie. So if they wanted to, they could have had him talk to him as a Force Ghost,
right,
too.
Right, that's true.
So it's not really about that. I think it's more about that he needs to be alone for a little bit and figure this stuff out on his own.
That's good. I mean, he was doing that quite a bit because arguably he probably hasn't been back to Dagobah.
Not much.
Since.
If at all.
If at all since he left, you know, in Empire.
Yeah. I always got the feeling that he has not been back.
Yes.
Maybe he's been back once, but probably not at all.
Yeah, the way that it seems to me is that he has not been back.
Yeah.
They spent all their time doing other things, looking, you know what I mean? Or maybe he was in commune with him in a different way so he could continue his training, but not directly in person.
And Yoda is disappointed that Luke knows that Vader's his father. Unexpected this is.
Right, and that's absolutely something that he would have said to him if he was with him ever before.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, because I find Yoda's approach to Luke very interesting, that he wants to keep his... He knows what Luke needs to know. and doesn't need to know.
But he keeps that he keeps a lot of information to himself, stuff that maybe should be.
But he decides that Luke doesn't need to know that yet because it will make him hasty, it will make him emotional, he'll make bad decisions. So it's better if he doesn't know because then he'll make the right decision.
Well, this is the second child syndrome almost. Like, we experimented with the first child, Anakin. Didn't work, so now we're overprotective of this child.
Oh, that's a great comparison.
Yeah.
That's a great comparison, yeah. I completely agree with that. It's like, I need to.
Because Yoda wasn't for training Anakin to begin with.
Right.
And so he wasn't training for Luke to begin with. So he's already kind of standoffish with Skywalkers from the onset.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I can't train another Skywalker. I'm not going to do this again. Like, I'm, right. Yeah.
It was bad the first time, and now he showed up. He's wearing black.
Yeah.
Like, hello. I don't care if it's a different galaxy or a different species. Black is universally the bad color to wear going through a character arc.
The first one wasn't even wearing black. This is so much worse this time.
Yeah, he was wearing brown and black. He knows those two things don't match. He was bound to be evil.
Fashion police, am I right?
Yeah. Fashion police. Yeah. Police of fashion. I wish I could do a good Yoda impression.
Crime of fashion, this is.
There it is. Thank you. The force running strong in your family. Your father, your mother, your sister, your dog. If this was a 50s,
force dog.
If this was a 50s comic, this is
your
this
iPhone
is
has
Sky
force
Hound
touch.
And
Skyhound
and
Streaky the Super Cat.
Streaky the Super Cat. That's right. My mind was right on Streaky because I was like Sky something. Streaky just worked. Skywalker. There's a great. Going back to the Star Wars comics for a second, there's a great issue where Luke is on Nunshadar and he goes to make a leap at a barge or whatever that's floating away. And the guy's like, he's chasing somebody. He's like, the guy's like, are you crazy? You're never going to make it. And he like does the jump and he like barely makes it. Like anybody who wasn't a Jedi would never even come close.
Sure.
And the guy was like, How did you do that? Like, there's no possible way. And he looks at the guys and goes, I'm a Skywalker. And I was like, oh, that was such a literal use of the word. That's so great. It was perfect.
Wait, I don't remember that, but I remember is it the same issue you're talking about?
Yes, the same one. Yeah.
I don't remember that line.
I will show you later.
Yeah.
Or I will.
And I would remember
my device
that
is right here. I can. Great radio. I can show you now.
So okay, what exactly if I always think Luke's attitude here is an interesting one because he's suddenly like, I can't do this without Yoda. Where before he was like,
sorry,
screw you, Yoda, I'm going.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a couple things that I'm going to make mention of. But one, do you notice that Force Ghost Obi-Wan like can move stuff? Like he's not really a ghost. Like he's got to move branches to get out of the way.
I never noticed that before.
He doesn't float through anything. He's got to like brush stuff aside. So they're glowy, but they're solid. Yeah. It's very strange.
Well, and he's about to turn solid and sit on something too.
Yeah, exactly.
So
isn't that strange?
I wonder if that's a thing that he can do in time. See, look, he's going to sit down. I wonder if it's a thing an ability that comes with time, where he can come back, and each time he comes back, he's more first. He's just a voice, right? Like run, Luke. You know,
so he becomes stronger.
Yeah. The Force is stronger with him each time.
Yes, and I've actually heard somebody make mention of that before. I think might have been you.
Maybe,
but I agree. I think I agree with you.
Because the first time it's run, Luke. You know, and. He's telling him to turn off his targeting computer
run,
and all that stuff.
Run.
And then he in the last movie, he showed up, you know, as a Force ghost. And, you know, he's talking to Yoda and all that. And now here he is, and he's more solid. And his feet are actually, like, not even glowing. Which I never noticed before. That's probably a fluke more than anything. Or no, maybe not. Maybe that's more of a...
His feet are like, real.
His bottom half is real. That's how he's sitting.
The ghost disappears and you just see Obi-Wan's feet
just
walking
his feet.
Away.
Yeah. But anyway, he gets more and more real every time. So I think that's like learning to commune with the Force and be one with the Force. And you become stronger and more material, more physically present every, with more experience and more time.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. It's interesting that Obi-Wan is like, so to be a Jedi, you have to kill somebody. You have to commit patricide.
Basically.
Doesn't seem like for somebody who's supposed to like serve peace in the galaxy, it's like, I can understand the point like where they think Vader is beyond saving. So the only way to...
Yeah.
So you have to destroy the Sith. Right. Because Jedi don't have an anti-killing rule. That's not a thing that they have.
Right.
They're like police in that way or whatever.
Like right. They're not going to not kill, but they prefer not to. Jedi would prefer not to.
But there's no appealing to be like, see if you can turn them. It's just like flat out. Like you have to kill them.
Yeah. But I think that's also Obi-Wan being overly cautious to a degree because, you know, and even Obi-Wan. So Obi-Wan is like, okay, but bury that knowledge that Leia's sister, bury that deep down, because if he can sense it off of you, then you're toast. I got to say, there's something that bothers me about this film is I don't know if it's the lighting. I don't know if it's the film stock. I don't know what it is. But or maybe it's, you know, maybe it is just the re-release and whatever they did digitally, but the flesh tones and the colors look a little oversaturated.
Yeah, it's always been like that. It's not the re-release. It's always they've always looked like that.
It's a little oversaturated.
Future that's actually in the technology that's in the future.
Yeah, instead of
finally,
like, instead of that, like, you know.
I know. That's why I wish Space they had, like, would go back to, we've talked about this, like, New Hope, and, like, just do this technology, just insert it into
I
a New
I just don't
Hope.
Want any more change, any more
because
unnecessary changes,
the
though.
Leap between what you said, Space Invaders,
yeah.
to that.
Yeah.
In,
but I think it's also, it's the Rebels, it's, you know.
Whatever
they,
technology they can collaborate.
Ragtag yeah. group. Because, like, in when we see the plans for the Death Star in Attack of the Clones, it looks very much like this.
Yes. Oh, so maybe that this is, it's just... they should have.
So in A New Hope, it's because they're a ragtag group of rebels and they have some outdated piece of, you know, they have an old computer sitting around that they got a hold of and they're using. Also, Mon Mothma is a very weird lady.
Yeah, she's
also
a weird lady.
The actress who plays Mon Mothma is also a weird lady.
Is she?
Yeah, I mean, a very nice lady, she seems like, but... I'm a Skywalker. Yeah. Thank you for showing me the
you're
Skywalker.
You're welcome.
I think that no, the Mon Mothma lady is she was on Rebel Force Radio, or I guess at the time it was the Force Cast, the podcast about Star Wars. Mm. And they interviewed her, and she said some very unusual things about how. When man went to the moon, that's when she found that the moon was round and not flat. I don't know how she thought.
What?
I thought it was flat like a plate, but I found out that it's round.
Wow. She does. I always thought it was the character, but she does seem rather spacey.
Yeah, I always thought it was the character, but apparently she's rather like her character.
Wow, that's very interesting.
Yes, yes.
I do like that the full leader of the rebellion is a woman.
Yes.
That, like, it speaks again to that Leia style of...
Yes.
Important equal figures. It's quite good. But it's not overplayed. It's just like, that's who she is.
Right.
My second command is a squid.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
He's the admiral.
He's a Mon Calamari. Get it?
Yeah. I mean,
he's a squid.
That is heavy-handed right
that
there.
That is.
Like, his
Star
Calamari
Wars.
Isn't his name.
Star Wars in a nutshell.
Star Wars, it's fine. It's right there.
It's interesting to go back to this conversation between... Lando and Han earlier, where he says, like, look at you, a general.
Yeah.
And someone must have told them about my maneuver at the Battle of Teneb. And it's like, so you became a general because someone heard a story about something you did.
We heard you fly ships good.
So why you be general?
You be general now.
Of rebellion. Yeah, no wonder you're still losing.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like, geez. Like, what's your order here? We don't have one.
Yeah. I got your
my
promise.
Second
not
command
a stretch.
Is a squid. What do you think? You know, like,
exactly. Yeah. Oh man,
not a scratch. I hope you don't like radio towers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's good. Hey, Matt Painting. Even
that's
when I was
Matt Painting,
even
yeah.
when I was a kid, I was like Matt.
Yeah,
painting. Don't know what that's Matt right. is, but it's a painting.
I don't know, but he. I don't know who Matt is, but he painted something.
Yep.
Yeah. That,
and
that
the
was...
Millennium Falcon cockpit continually. It's smaller on the outside than it is on the inside. It's Star Wars universe's TARDIS.
Yeah, that is true.
It's much larger on the inside.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
Yeah, my eyes are open, woman. Clearly, I'm awake. Just kidding. I love you, Leia.
Now, I always felt like they were foreshadowing that the Falcon wasn't going to make it.
You know, maybe like that was an intention at one point, or they wanted to lead you.
Oh, no.
Clearly bait.
I think it was, intentional misdirection.
Yeah. Maybe it would have been good if it, like, Lando did go out in a blaze of glory or something like that.
I mean, it would be pretty cool for him to go out that way. It'd be a cooler death than Boba Fett.
It would be a cooler death than Boba Fett.
But, you know, all the lore around Boba Fett is, like...
It's hokum.
None of it was in the movies.
It's hokum.
Like yes, he caught Han Solo, which is...
an interesting place for a tower. I've never really noticed where the...
Oh, yeah. I thought that was interesting. It reminds me of the Jedi Temple Tower a little bit.
Oh. I wonder if that was intentional. I'm going to say it was.
I think it's likely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that this tower that the Emperor now sits in was kind of...
His helmet isn't as shiny in the scene as it is
That's true. It's got,
he's doing stuff now.
Smudged.
Must have just come out of the dishwasher. The helmet washer.
Yeah.
It's like out the ball washer at the bowling alley.
Yeah.
Yeah, his egg.
His egg crate thing.
Yep.
The general, the commander behind him is smiling.
A very bemused look. Smug, I saw that too. I've never seen that before.
And who are these guys?
Who are these dudes?
Like, what?
I want to know.
So we're here to talk about the bridge you were going to build in our town. The people would really like to know a status update on the bridge.
Yeah. Do we have a bridge?
Is it still going to be a drawbridge or what's the plan?
Are we going to have a bridge or a drawbridge? Because we want to play bridge.
We
could draw pictures of bridges and we could plot. We could draw us playing bridge, but it's not the same as a drawbridge.
Not the same.
No, no, no. where that came from. Going back to your Boba Fett thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely correct. One that the legend of Boba Fett is...
It's more fan-generated than anything else. I think there are novels.
Yes, there are. I mean, he looks cool.
He looks cool, and I think that's kind of where...
He has a great costume.
I think that's where people's fascination with him really stems from, is just the look. Because...
For sure.
You know what his first appearance was?
Are you counting re-releases or not?
No. I'm talking about the first time in real time, in human time, that Boba Fett was seen. It was the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Special in 78, I guess it was.
His helmet shiny again.
He's shiny again. He went back in the egg.
Yep.
Boba Fett appeared in the Star Wars Holiday Special in 78. That infamous, awful TV special that no one should ever watch if you can avoid it.
I've legends now, so it doesn't matter.
It's true. I've watched it twice. And there is a cartoon segment where our heroes meet Boba Fett, who they think is their friend at first, and then turns out he's a bad guy. Dun, dun, and then dun, we see him dun, in Empire, dun. And then we see him here.
And he's in A New Hope. He's hanging out with
Jabba.
Just saying.
In the special editions when they reinserted that scene with Jabba.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it's other than those appearances, like, it's just the novels and people just thinking, like, he looks so cool, he must be a badass. And I don't, you know, I was always like, what is so cool? What do you like about him so much other than his look? I think he looks so, so cool that it just inspires this, like, he must be amazing if he looks that cool.
Yeah, well, I don't, you know, I look pretty similar to Boba Fett's armor just as a human being. And but people don't inspire, you know. You're just imagining me.
You do have like that T-shaped thing.
I have a
T-shaped
face. Yeah, my eyes are just streamed together like a cyclops beam.
And then your nose just kind of meets them and makes a... Yeah,
right. I know.
You know, Vader does a lot of, by the way...
That's just my anti-oil cream that I put. That's my T-zone.
Yeah. So that is?
That's all that is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'll believe that. Going back a minute, just Vader does a lot of staring out windows at ships that get away from him.
Vader?
Yeah. And then walking away
absolutely
disappointed.
Absolutely does.
I'm just going to walk now and you're all going to know that I'm pissed.
Yep. I may kill any one of you at any point in time.
Choke all of you.
But I probably won't because I have more windows to go stare out of.
Exactly.
No, they're absolutely right. Hey, it's me. That's probably the most Han moment in this whole film.
Never tell me the odd. In this film. Yes.
Film. Yeah.
Hey, it's me.
I do like I do like the speeder bike design. I question whether they need the little visor for protection of the sun because their eyes are glasses.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like that actually just hinders their field of vision.
Yeah.
It's almost like a weird horse blinder thing.
Yes, especially on bikes, I feel like.
Yeah, it's a bad design. Mm-hmm. The Empire's not known for logical designs for their troopers.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true. I mean, why do they even have a different helmet to begin with?
It's sleeker. Maybe it stays on better. It doesn't rattle.
Aerodynamics, maybe? I have no idea.
Maybe it's protected in different zones.
Different ways, yeah.
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 Or maybe it just looks cool. Whatever.
Probably yeah. Won't.
I used to have a speeder bike toy where if you hit a button in the back, it would explode into different pieces.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was really hard to put back together, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I never wanted to do it because it would take me 10 minutes to try to put the bike back together. But it was cool. It was one of the first Star Wars toys I ever owned.
I like how there's a jam the comlink button.
Yeah.
In case
so
you ever
true.
Need to make your colleagues not be able to talk, yeah. Just push this center button.
Oh, my God. I've never even thought of that.
And we'll make it
so
really obvious
true.
That someone hopping on the speeder for the first time will be able to know what it is. So intuitive.
So true. This is the first place we've been to in the Star Wars universe that feels just like Earth.
Yeah.
More than anything. Maybe that's because we grew up in New England. And I mean, this isn't filmed in New England, but
no.
But the idea of just green pine forests yeah. and all that is just yeah. something that I'm accustomed to.
It's something you're familiar with.
Redwood. There's also that.
Yeah. Yeah, this is something in the Redwoods. Do you know how they got this footage?
No.
Are you familiar with the Steadicam?
Yes.
It's like a big camera rig that's on a gyroscope.
I said yes.
In case our
no, I'm just messing with you.
Not. It's on a big gyroscope, and it keeps the camera very, very steady. As the name
it's
suggests,
a genius name. Yeah.
As the name suggests, and they filmed someone walking through the Redwoods, again at low speed. And at a high, at a low frame rate this time.
So someone just walked like a couple of miles in the Redwoods
yep.
with a Steadicam?
Yep. And they filmed it at a low frame rate so that when they played it back at a normal speed, it looked fast.
Wow, that's pretty ingenious.
Looks sped up.
Because it still looks pretty good even by today's standards.
Oh, yeah. Well, again, that's like practical effects right there, you
yep.
know? Like, it just
yeah,
simple camera
that,
tricks.
It's not a green screen. None of it, like, it just doesn't, like, all of that is just really
yeah.
well done.
I mean, the actors are on blue screens.
Yes.
And they're matted in, but yeah, the footage itself is just someone walking through the forest and
it's very interesting.
Sped up.
But I mean there are POV shots that don't look blue or green screened.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Mm. Oh yeah, I got her. Oh, but look a tree.
Uh-oh. Tree done digin.
Seems a terror. Like do you think any of them have survived like getting back to different bases? On these things.
I mean, they're about as good at writing these as they are at doing everything else.
Yeah.
Which is to say, not at all.
I think there's like a stormtrooper camp must be like a week. Where there's like, this is your uniform. This is the word storm. This is what a storm is. This is what a trooper is. This is where a gun is. You're done.
All right, you're good.
Are we going to learn how to aim?
No,
we are not. We don't have time for this.
You'll figure it out.
Yeah. We don't have time. Yeah, but I'm gonna teach you how to wipe your uniform down so the white never shows any blemishes.
Yeah.
Except if you're riding on a speeder bike in a forest. Very few of you will have to do this. You get a special extra day of training to go through your helmet design.
Hey, was that the first time we saw someone deflect?
No, we saw it on Jabba's barge.
Oh, you're right. Thank you.
You're welcome. I said sweet deflection.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Because, yeah, but this movie is the first time we've seen that, right?
Yeah,
we didn't
it
see
is.
An Empire.
For whatever reason, I always thought I've seen Vader do it, but I've never seen him do it in live action. He does it in Rebels,
huh.
Which is pretty awesome. But, yeah, that's true. This is the first movie that did that.
Yeah.
It's funny how things you feel like just blend into the rest of the Star Wars universe, where it just all feels so natural.
Yeah, it's true. You kind of forget where a new move or something was introduced.
Yeah.
I guess if you're part of a generation that grew up watching these films, then you might be like, whoa, what? That's new. And you might remember that
right.
moment the same way
but
you would remember.
We could have watched all of these in one afternoon if we wanted to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The same way we remember, like, oh, my God, the first time you saw Darth Maul ignite the second side of his
yes,
lightsaber.
We've never seen that before. But
right.
You've seen it in animated forms before. So, like, kids going to see a new film would be like, oh, I've seen that.
Yeah.
True. True.
Wicket.
Speaking of not Wicket at all, why do you think that Leia and Luke chose ponchos, but Han got a trench coat?
Well, the ponchos are a little bit better camouflage, and they were going out on their own direction, so I think that they went with the camouflage.
They only went out on their own directions because they took speeder bikes to go chase after the troopers.
Well, that is true, so I'm out of ideas.
Yeah, okay. Her camouflage is also different from theirs. Theirs is more subtle.
That's true. Luke's is
hers is actually camouflage.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So this is Warwick Davis, right?
Yeah.
As Wicket? Yeah.
Yeah, when he was a kid.
Yeah, little Warwick. He's become quite the, I mean, he's been in every Star Wars film since.
Yeah.
And actually, he's in The Force Awakens too.
Yeah, he ties with Peter Mayhew. Peter Mayhew?
Oh yeah, I guess he would too. Yeah, because he's been four. Yeah.
As of right now.
Yeah, you're right.
Yep.
You're right.
And
soon to be five, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
soon to be five or work too. So yeah, still it holds.
Still holds.
Kenny
and
Baker,
Anthony Daniels
been all six. And all seven now.
And Kenny Baker.
Kenny Baker, I'm not sure. I guess Kenny Baker's been in all of them.
Isn't
Kenny Baker? Rumor has it Kenny Baker is getting a screen credit for The Force Awakens, but he did little to no actual work in the R2-D2 suit for The Force Awakens. The man is in his 80s now.
Is he really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So he can't really get into the tin can anymore. But rumor has it that maybe they gave him Yeah. Maybe they gave him a couple of shots where he's, you know, I don't know how he was involved, but maybe he's in it in some capacity, in something that was relatively easy for him to do just so he could be involved. They went to some length to give him some ability to be R2-D2 in some form or fashion, but he is not R2-D2 for most of the film.
Did not know that. That's very interesting. He was R2 in the other ones, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, in the prequels, yeah. I believe he was.
Okay. I wonder if I'll be able to tell the difference.
Yeah, I wonder. I feel like with R2-D2, you might be able to tell. With 3PO or Chewie, I would definitely feel like I could tell.
It's interesting, though, because sometimes even when I, like, for instance, James Earl Jones voiced Darth Vader in a season 2 first episode of Clone War, Rebels.
Rebels, yes.
And sometimes the way he delivers a line, I'm like, I don't know if Darth Vader would say it that way, even though he is Darth Vader.
Yeah.
And so
I think that largely has to do with whoever's directing him.
Maybe. It's also been a long time since he's played that character.
Yeah,
so more my point being that, like, sometimes if you're too removed from playing a character, you might not remember exactly how you used to do it.
While that's true.
Speaking of Boba Fett and, you know, not, you know, having lore around them, the Emperor's Guard.
Oh, true.
They just stand there. I want to see them do something. They look so cool, even though they definitely can't see anything.
Oh, absolutely not.
The Emperor filled with helmets that you can't see out of. Join the Empire. You'll get a sweet helmet that'll make you go blind.
Exactly. No, while it's true that, you know, maybe you forget how to play a character after a long time, or you know, especially when that your performance is based on mannerisms or the way you talk or something like that, I do think that when I look at the way Chewie walks in episode 3.
I'm sorry. I have felt him, my master.
That I have not.
Yeah. I just subtext.
All right,
anyway,
guys,
sorry,
listen,
continue.
Let's keep that keep it PG. I think you know, when I look at the way Peter Mayhew played Chewie in episode 3, or the way that Anthony Daniels has played 3PO throughout, you know, consistently, I feel like they're really, I do see those guys, anyway, really living their character. And, like, when you can tell when Peter Mayhew is in that suit, there is something magical about the way Chewbacca walks, and he has Peter Mayhew's walk.
Yeah. Okay, I agree with all that, but they're walking, whereas Kenny Baker is like shaking.
Yeah, and you know, that's why I don't know if I could tell the difference with him, but with the others I can. I'm saying, mm-hmm. but with R2-D2, I kind of doubt I could tell. Like, oh, the way that he made the costume shake around is unique. Like, I doubt that would be.
Yeah, but I've seen toys shake around that way.
Yeah, and now they have robots that, you know, like you know.
BB-8 is all automated controlled, and he just seems so darn cute.
Right, you know? And there were robot versions of R2-D2 that they used in the films too. But there is something to be said for having a person in there. I'm just saying that.
Right,
no
that's
offense,
his
no
decision
offense.
For him to shake that back and forth.
Yeah,
right there, and yeah,
and no offense to Kenny Baker, but you know, I doubt that I would notice a different person in the R2-D2 suit. Just the fact that there being a person in there, I think is enough. Whereas, if it's a robot, maybe I'd be able to tell.
Right.
But if it's any person, I wouldn't be able to tell whether it's Kenny Baker or not.
Right. I'm going to say that I feel like Chewbacca should be smarter than this.
I'm going to agree with you on that. Always sticking with your stomach. I think it was just a moment of weakness, and he was just hungry, and he was like, oh, I'm going to take this. Oops.
Yeah. I don't like this. Yeah. I'm just going to, yeah. Classic R2 right here.
I know.
I want to know how much of this he cut. For it to actually make a difference. Because if he... Like, that's impressive. He wasn't cutting anywhere near there.
He just, you know, he knows exactly where to make the right cuts.
Yeah. To, you know, for weight to do the gravity
Except,
to do the
yeah,
rest.
Exactly.
Excuse me for hiccuping into the microphone.
Do you remember the Ewok who was on the Today Show on Halloween maybe 5 or 6 years ago? When they were all the hosts were dressed in Star Wars costumes?
Not in the slightest.
they were all Star Wars characters, and they had some, you know, official Lucasfilm costumed people show up. So they had like a stormtrooper and, you know, the usual stuff they do. Mm-hmm. And they had one Ewok, and he was like breakdancing on the plaza.
What?
Show, and he started humping people.
Oh my god.
He started humping like Matt Lauer and Al Roker and all those people.
He's definitely not working for Lucasfilm anymore.
Yeah, no. It was really funny, but he just started like breakdancing and just it was hilarious. And the fan community called him Humpy the Ewok.
On the nose.
And someone,
classic Star Wars.
Exactly. And someone even wrote a song. Where they took.
Loop-a-loop-a-loop-a. Sorry.
I love that.
I like the I like their language.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But someone wrote a song to the tune of Frosty the Snowman. Humpy the Ewok.
Oh, I'm gonna enjoy looking that up.
Oh,
later.
It's on YouTube. Enjoy it. Yeah.
I like how they always ask
I know.
Him if he understands things. Oh, yes, sir.
Hey, how many forms of communication are you familiar with?
Just classic on. What are you telling them? I don't have any time for your shenanigans. Oh, my goodness. I like how he likes to believe in some sort of God. Well, I
love the look on Luke's face when he figures out.
This is classic Han Solo right here. Why don't you use your divine influence and get us out of this? It's a little overacting.
Even when
part.
He's like, proper? And Luke is like laughing.
Yeah. He's like, oh no. I was laughing. I should have stopped him. Yeah.
I just love how wise Luke has become. He has become a very wise, strong, silent type of leader.
It's interesting to wonder what happened to him in between Empire and Jedi.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's expanded universe stuff for that, but there's really nothing to give away. Like, what was that moment that transitioned him into, this wise man? It's interesting. I don't even know if I want to see it because I might not like say like, oh, I don't really think that would be it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes some things are best left unsaid.
Yeah.
This is definitely Lothlorien light. You don't know what Lothlorien is, so I'll tell you. It's the magical elf land of the Lothlorien forest from Lord of the Rings.
Ah.
where Galadriel lives, where Cate Blanchett lives.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, yeah. A little baby Ewok. Sorry. I don't love the Ewoks, but I'm pretty sucker for a cute little teddy bear thing in a basket. I'm sorry. They are fearsome, though. I mean, like, they are planning just on burning them alive and eating them. So, to be fair, I mean, they are all stacked up. Like, they allow themselves to be tied. So.
Yeah, I mean.
Why did they eat her? Oh, because Wicket, right. Never mind.
Because Wicket.
Yeah.
I think it's really, they're, like, protecting her. But these are my friends. I think it's really funny how people are like, oh, they were just, the Ewoks were nothing. I'm like, they took down the Empire and they almost ate like Luke and Han and Chewie. Like,
yep. And it's only because Luke was like, oh, I'm going to Jedi magic this.
Yeah.
Like this guy playing with his ear in the corner. Just like, do you see that? I've never seen that. He's like standing off away from everybody else, just playing with his ear.
I totally missed that.
That's great. I like the way he kind of shifts himself where he's like, 3PO, I have a great idea, and I'm going to tell you about it. We probably could have done this in the forest
before we got tied up, but that's fine.
I could have just levitated you without the chair.
I also like that even after he threatens, they're like, nah, it's okay, God, we won't listen, that's fine.
That's very true. Well, he said they're primitive, you know.
Yeah.
You know. I don't know what that means exactly, you know, but
I always love Han trying to blow out the torches as if that's going to do anything. Just blowing on him.
Good old 3PO. Up there he is.
A little baby Ewok.
Yeah. Now, I love how this. Now, I like how this was enough for them to be like, all right.
He's flying now. All right. He meant it. Yeah. All right. Call it off, guys.
It's okay. We're all right. We can eat nothing. So I have to feed my children or anything. It's not a big deal.
No big deal. Yeah, it's fine.
Yep.
You know, these were originally supposed to be
Wookiees.
That's just
like Han falling out of the carbonite all over again.
That is true, isn't it?
These were originally supposed to be what? Wookiees. They were supposed to be Wookiees. Yes, I didn't know that.
Yep.
But the budget couldn't afford Wookiees, so they made costumes half the size of Wookiees.
Little Wookiees.
Yeah. That seems weird to me. That, like, if you could just did less Wookiees.
Yeah, but I guess to do it right, it needed to be an army.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, because if you had like 10 of them, you'd be like, really? That's it?
Yeah.
Just like a tribe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's interesting that they're budget constraints. Because I feel like Star Wars now, if they're like, well, we want these to be Wookiees, but we can't afford it.
They'll give them all the money
that
they want.
Fine, make them Wookiees. Go for it. Yeah.
Okay. Remember that time that he said he's not very good at telling stories?
Yes, well, this is a character progression of the droid.
Robots don't have character progression. The robots are robots. They just have programming.
No. Well, I'm gonna
it's
go
a loop.
I'm
it's,
gonna
a, it's,
groom.
A, it's an inconsistency. Just let it be.
I'm going to say that he wasn't in the adventures he was in. He doesn't remember them. Most of those adventures before. Well, his mind gets wiped at the end of episode 3.
Yes, that's true.
So, his mind gets wiped at the end of episode 3.
Yeah.
So.
Excuse me while I crack open another beer while you're
there. Yeah, answer. No, I was like trying to like.
Yeah, there's no explanation.
Yeah.
There's no explanation for this. He is good at telling stories.
Okay, I've got it. So his mind gets wiped at the end of episode 3. And so from episodes 3 to 4,
yeah,
he does not have adventures.
Okay, that's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah, though. But I'm not done yet. Therefore, he has no stories to share. So if, like, I'm not good at telling stories is his way of saying, like, I don't have anything interesting to say.
Yeah, I'm not convinced.
I don't know anything.
I'm not buying it.
And then it's only once he meets Luke does he start to get to this time and place where all of a sudden he can share these things.
So
maybe
he says,
maybe the update came out and they updated him.
He's on iOS 9.
Yeah,
yeah.
He could be.
iOS
W9.
W9?
IO IO Star Wars 9. IOSW.
SW. Got it. Got it. I was like, a W-9 is a very different thing, Tim.
What?
A W-9 is a very different, it's a form to fill out.
He's on...
I know. It's on, never mind.
He's on iOS 1138.
That's it. Yeah. That's a ticket.
Gotcha. I like this.
I love this, too. Hurry up.
There's a little sarcastic head nod in there, too.
Oh, he totally double takes.
Yeah, that was a double take. This scene I always thought was weird.
Okay, this is the scene that I... So the music in this scene I absolutely love. So this is also the first scene I remember seeing of Star Wars. I was at my great aunt's house, and all the adults were talking and being loud Italians.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I want to go somewhere else. So my aunt was like, okay, go in the den, watch the TV. And this was on whatever channel. And this scene came on.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, I don't know what this is, but... Interesting. The music, the Luke and Leia theme. If you listen to Rebel Force Radio's Star Wars Oxygen,
mm-hmm.
they do a great, great breakdown of this piece, and they revealed that I'd never noticed before. The first notes of Luke of the Force theme, of the Star Wars theme, a different rhythm. Same notes, different rhythm. And that's what is the backbone of this whole theme. And it's such a beautiful piece.
That's why John Williams continues to be a genius.
Yeah,
it's things like this where like you can create a good piece of music.
Yes.
But if you can create... six films worth of good pieces of music.
Yes.
Based off of one theme like that.
Yeah.
And continue to use that as a motif throughout the whole thing, even as a subconscious level, you're recognizing that. That's pretty extraordinary.
Yep.
Like,
it's excellent.
Yeah, it's excellent.
This is also the Force Strong with my family. My father has it. My sister has it. Is also, this is what was used in the first trailer for A New Hope, right? Where Luke is talking.
Yes.
You have that power,
yes,
too.
Yes, because the great debate was whether it was from this film or if it was re-recorded.
And it was both.
It was both.
It was audio we hear is this.
And the echoes was
re-recorded.
Modern day Mark Hamill.
Exactly, yes.
Or modern-day Luke Skywalker, if you're a believer of this thing being real. You know, either one. Do you think she has hair extensions?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
100%.
Her hair length never matches up to...
It's hair extensions because, come on, earlier in the movie she had it like under that helmet.
Yeah, true story. There's no way
she was hiding all that hair. It's 100% hair extensions. I like how he does Irish exits. He's just like, all right, I told you, you can tell everybody else, bye.
Goodbye. I don't like this scene. It seems to be an odd fight.
It is a little bit of a contrived fight.
Because she doesn't, she's like, I can't tell you. Like, why
could
not?
You tell Luke? Is that who you could tell? Like, that's just a petty sort of thing.
It is. And it's this weird, like.
And her reaction doesn't seem quite, yeah, I agree. I've always felt this was a little forced.
Yeah, this is always the part of the film where it always loses me at this point.
This is where the pacing starts to fall apart, right? Is that what you said before?
Yes, I did say that. It does. Yeah. It starts to, and then there's like, oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's not very Han Solo of him.
No, it's a rare moment of tenderness for him.
And then it picks up, but I think it does pick up. Oh, look, it's the contact satellite. It does pick up once Luke gets to the Death Star.
Yes.
I guess.
Death Star picks up again.
So Darth Vader takes a very long time to get down to Endor.
Mm-hmm.
And he just turns himself in. My God, that's a big man. Like, he could barely fit through that elevator
door. No, he's a big man. David Prowse is a huge guy.
Well, if it's David Prowse.
You're right. It might not be David Prowse.
Yeah. This film does a really good job at showing the vastness of Vader's size. And sometimes I don't think the other films quite get there. Mm-hmm. Him and Chewie together.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, that's true. Chewie, actually, I hadn't thought about that. But now that I'm thinking about it, I can think of a couple places where they do show off his size. Did you know that David Prowse trained Christopher Reeve?
Yes, he was his weight trainer. Yes. Yeah, for Superman, I did know that. Yep. which is very cool. Mm-hmm. Cool fact.
Mm-hmm.
Factoid.
Yep.
He's pointing the... point with his finger, so he's got to point with the laser.
That's Don't play
David.
With this.
That's absolutely David Prowse. It's a lot of pointing. but it's like the point, like, this is the classic, like, even Luke when he gets it in New Hope and he, like, points at his eye.
Points at his face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same idea. Like,
runs in the family.
Point. Yeah.
Like father like son.
Yep, totally. That's a good face change on Hamill right there. That, like, okay, well, I might die right now.
Yep. I have thought for a long time that that was very.
His lightsaber's weird, though. The button being right in the middle, like the jutting out like that. He's got to get a... There's no real good grip on the lightsaber.
His touch ID. You know, he does his fingerprint.
No, I mean, like, if this bottle is the lightsaber,
yes,
and I'm
there's
holding
no...
it, like, if I'm holding it like a grip, like two-handed, like a broadsword.
Like a baseball bat.
Right, or like a baseball bat, you know, like normal things we use in the real world. then... on the handle of the baseball bat or the lightsaber, jutting out is like a thumb-sized, thumb double-stacked ring,
strip
for the button, and like there's no good way to place your hands around that
without accidentally
hitting it or just being in the way. That's poor design on Luke's part. Fix it, Luke.
Yeah, he was a beginner.
Yeah, but like once you make a lightsaber, aren't you just like stuck with that one until like you lose your hand or something like
that?
You
could make more.
I guess, but you need to know where the crystals are and like all that stuff. Like he's talking to him. Luke talks to Vader like he's known him his whole life.
I know. It's like, oh, then my father is dead. Like, my father who raised me really is dead. And it's like, what? Dude, what are you? Like,
you don't know him.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't even know about Padamame, like...
Or Panda Bear,
or
whatever
or
that
Panda Bear,
was.
Whatever her name is. so good. Yeah.
I can't wait to eat some Admiral Akbar cereal.
Don't eat that cereal, kids. It's a trap!
Admiral Akbar!
Yeah, tacos rule.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Tacos rule. Yeah. I forgot about that one. If you haven't seen the Robot Chicken Star Wars specials,
they're the best.
Make a point of watching them because they are amazing.
They are the best. Eat whoop whoop. You got no one. Do you see 3PO's eyes sometimes look too orange?
Yeah, they are more orange in this movie.
Yeah.
I've been noticing that in this movie.
Yeah, they didn't. They're.
I wonder if it's just a color balancing, a color correction thing in this movie, like why the flesh tones look oversaturated and
could be
his eyes look more orange. And I'm even noticing that like the thrusters on some of these ships look more orange than I'm used to seeing. I wonder if that's just a color correction thing in this movie.
Could very well be. Could very well be. I think the ships, this is the film in which, like, you can tell that maybe the Rebellion has an upper hand in some way because their ships are pretty sleek.
They've gotten a new fleet this time around, yeah.
Yeah. It's the fleet you see at the end of Empire. It's the same.
Yes, that's true. Yes, that's true. At the very end.
Yeah.
But, as they ride off into the sunset, sort
but
of.
But being
yeah.
like that is very sleek. It actually is reminiscent of the Tantive IV, the first ship you see.
Yes, it is.
That's very sleek. But that's a personal cruiser. It's a little different than just a Rebellion ship. And so, but I mean, it also gives merit to like, whenever everyone calls the Millennium Falcon a piece of junk. Like, you can see why people call it that when you look at
it. That's true. When you look at it in comparison to the other ships, it's like, oh, yeah, it is kind of scruffy looking.
Yeah.
Who's scruffy looking?
This Nerf herder over here. That's who. Yeah. A lot of, see, it's interesting even watching this on, this is even where the Ewoks fail. When you're looking at this purely from a visual standpoint, see, his eyes are different in this scene. But when you're looking at this from a visual standpoint, like, in reading captions, like, I don't know what the Ewoks are saying.
She's wearing an Apple Watch.
Did she? No, I can't see. Just run some Put it into frame.
Kind of gadget on her wrist. Also, since, again, putting your mouth over a droid's, the hand over a droid's mouth.
I think they recognize the, but it doesn't.
We talked about it in Watch
2. Yeah, but it doesn't.
It's funny every time.
Yeah, what do they do when they want R2 to shut up? Like, where do they put their hand? Like,
you don't
want to
know.
No. Whoa. Whoa. They're all, hey. Whoa. They don't like Dave. Dave's always left behind.
See her Apple Watch? Oh, it's gone again. Dave's always left behind. Dave the Trooper.
Dave the Trooper. I'd read that comic.
Poor Dave.
Poor Dave.
That's like, it's like,
it's
Hank,
like that Hank the Hydra.
Hank Johnson, is it? Hank Johnson, Agent of Hydra?
Yeah, Hank Johnson, Agent of Hydra. That
which, by the way, is a fantastic comic book for anybody who's interested in some really good workplace comedy about being in Hydra. Amazing.
They're surviving. Oh, well, I guess that's right. He swings. I was like, he's surviving.
He tarzans his way out of there.
Classic trickster Han Solo.
Tag him on the shoulder.
Classic trickster Han Solo.
That
was good body language on that trooper's part. That was well done. That's like, it was not overdone. It was just enough to
Dave
display.
Is having a real bad day
Dave's
right now.
Dave's having a terrible day. Oh, my goodness. Oh, it's moving across the planet. I've never noticed that
before.
Well,
yeah, it's orbiting it.
Yeah, but I just thought Star Wars is pretty bad at stuff like that.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually being able to see that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
It's my Emperor's Chorus sound. There's a bit of Emperor's Chorus in Hook, if you listen closely. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, if you... The scene in which Peter comes home and from the banquet and his children are missing, the glass is broken, and they're running up through the house.
Yep.
The children are screaming!
Oh.
Yeah, there's a bit of Emperor's Chorus in there. It's not exactly the same, but it's in this era of Williams where he goes through decades and periods where he sounds similar himself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. He goes through phases of like, oh, I like this. I can use this instrument or this device or this.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I don't love the Harry Potter score, because it sounds a lot like other things that he's done at different times and places. Like, it's a little too much like everything else. But except for a couple of bits, but he was coming out of the 90s and he still had that part in him. Ian McDiarmid might be the best actor in all of these films, though.
He very well might be.
He very well might be the best actor in any of these films. This is a man in his 30s.
Yeah, I mean, out of all six movies, he might be the best actor.
Yeah, I still say that. Like, look at his mouth.
Although Christopher Lee was in the movies, too.
Yes, that's true. Okay, yeah.
You know, but like, for me, he is on the same level as a Christopher Lee and a Peter Cushing and an Alec Guinness. Alec Guinness, too. Yeah. There are some fantastic actors in these films.
Yeah, really.
I mean, they're Oscar-winning actors.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I meant more for, like, this is a man who was in his 30s playing a man who's supposed to be in his 80s,
yeah,
and then
whatever.
Became
yeah.
a man in his 60s playing man. Like he it was,
yeah.
No, like, who gets to do that? Like, really, what an interesting exercise in acting. like play a part where a man you're supposed to be elderly.
Yep.
Then when you're elderly, go back and play that same
and,
part.
And how just like, you know, perfect that he, that when
it was perfect.
It was perfect that perfect. That 20 years later he got to play himself 20 years earlier.
Yeah. What? Well,
right. Like.
Yeah. No. Well, no one gets to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was. It's almost worth the prequels just for that. And I like the,
and I
like
the
prequels.
Yeah,
yeah,
we are both.
But
you know,
I think flubs and everything else, like, it's really worth it just to watch that exercise in acting.
Yeah, I would agree. That's an incredible thing.
The deflect shield will be quite
operational when your friends arrive.
He's not as sassy as I ever want him to be.
I know.
My sassy Palpatine. Oh, I'm afraid that we already ordered takeout, and so you're just going to have to watch us eat it in front of you.
Oh, yeah, it was one of the wrong
because
things.
Because we're so evil. Yeah. Did you wash your hands? Yeah.
That image of the Death Star behind them
is new.
I think it's new, and it looks like it has continents on it or something. I bet it's like a thermal imaging map or something.
Oh,
but,
yeah,
but
it's just
looks
the
like,
inner workings, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like it's got like, oh, this is where North America is. And
I wonder if we'll see it again.
Blue screen.
Yep, oh, wicked. I love the R2, stay with me.
You rebel scum, that famous line.
Yep, this yeah. I don't know who that actor is, but...
But he delivered a classic
That's
line.
That's the first time you get to see a shot in hyperspace, too.
Yeah, and it looks like the TARDIS flies. It looks like Doctor Who, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Okay, so his chair here.
Yeah, it's a hover chair.
It's like a hover chair. It's like a microphone arm, but
Red leader's wearing orange, and gray leader's wearing green, and green leader's wearing green, so now I'm just confused.
You know what? They're colorblind.
Okay.
That's the thing.
That's it. Okay. Speaking alien language. They don't even get, like, he doesn't even get his own thing.
Yeah, I know.
Like, the Ewoks get, you know, like, Jabba gets Hutinies and all that stuff, but he doesn't get one. Just alien language.
Right.
I'm sorry. What were you saying before I cut you off?
I love how it's only Lando who realizes that it's a setup. Like, wait, how could our thing be blocking our signal unless they knew they know we're coming?
That's why he's a general. That's that Battle of Tadeb training.
That is
yeah.
right. They heard about it.
Yeah.
And they were like,
they were also
what?
Jammed at that one.
This guy has
recognized
some,
jams.
He knows a jam.
Raspberry jams,
one.
Strawberry jams,
his
blueberry jams.
His grandmother made a lot of jams. A
lot of jams. Lando Calrissian, he's our guy. Hey, First Asian, right?
Cole 45 jam.
Is that First Asian in Star Wars?
I think so. I believe
Great
so.
Leader? Yeah, think so. Pretty sure. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Red,
she was my first Asian. Sorry.
Red.
Seeing wedding crashes.
Red Squadron always wears orange, though.
Yes.
Always.
Colorblind. Yeah, well, because it's painted red on the outside of their ships.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Emperor said something.
I also like how the battle is happening out there. Like, they're watching it from a distance. There's something about that that's very, like, they're removed from it, watching it, and he's forcing Luke to watch it from a distance.
Yeah. It actually almost, and it's funny because it almost, it's very hard to tell
what's happening, who's winning,
so,
any of
like,
that.
And so if his fears are already playing up when you don't know what, you can't see anything, there's no sense of hope or anything like that, you're only going to get deeper and deeper into despair.
That's right.
Because you can't actually tell what's happening.
It's the devil you don't know.
Yes. Ooh, that's a good way of putting it. It is unavoidable. It is your destiny. Like your father.
So when people saw Empire Strikes Back for the first time. So Empire Strikes Back. They were seeing an emperor who had the face of an old woman, the eyes of a monkey. And the voice of somebody.
An angel.
Else. Yeah, sure. But you know what I mean? Like, they saw this weird thing. And I'm not making that up. That I know. But in case anyone doesn't, like, I'm not joking or exaggerating. Or Ian McDiarmid was not originally in Empire Strikes Back as the Emperor. It was what I just described. They took an old woman's face and put monkey's eyes on it and gave it someone else's voice. And that was the hologram of the Emperor that Vader talks to. When he says, but if he could be turned, you know, all that stuff. Here, then, obviously, we have Ian McDiarmid in this film. And I've always wondered, like, what was it like? I mean, were they just banking on people not remembering that, oh, well, you know, in 3 years when the next one comes out, or rather, I should say, when this one came out, were they like,
right,
well, it was 3 years ago, people don't remember what he looked like, you know, whatever. His face was shrouded anyway.
This is before television repeats or syndication or cassette tapes.
There were television repeats. I mean,
okay, so it was
TV
before.
TV existed in the 80s. But yes, I know what you mean. It was before people were regularly, before rewatching a movie was a serious consideration. Like, even if they did rewatch it, you're not going to rewatch both movies back to back. You're not going to notice this, you know?
Right.
Because that was probably still a new thing. But I mean, home video was starting to be a thing.
Though, if you look at the original Empress picture,
yeah,
it's not that far off.
No,
from Ian McDiarmid,
he's still wearing the hood and everything.
It was just more wrinkly.
Yeah,
but if you really look at it, it's not that much different. So if you're only playing it from your memory,
yeah, it wouldn't be noticeable, I guess.
It's not terribly noticeable.
But I guess what I'm saying is, this is one of the last times in film history where that was an acceptable thing to do.
Yeah, well, they fixed it, they changed it twice.
Yes.
Yeah, they changed it in 2004 and they again changed it in 2009 for the Blu-rays.
So did they not change it in 97 when they did the special editions?
No, they did not. It was still the monkey. Yeah.
Interesting.
Because that was before prequels. So Ian McDiarmid wasn't coming back to reshoot anything.
Right. That's very interesting. So I guess it's 2004, so like he was already shooting the prequels, and so they had him. Maybe.
Yeah, just, you know, film this thing that's going to take 20 seconds.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah, this is where the Ewoks really come into their own, where they, you know, like choke all these people out. That probably shouldn't have knocked
Listen,
them down.
Sticks and stones may break my bones, and they may also kill stormtroopers.
Yeah, well, you know, stormtroopers.
Yep.
Man, I hope they're fearsome in episode 7. Codes change. We need R2. It's funny that, like, you can't hack with people like you need a droid in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
You ever thought about that? Like,
yeah,
you
that's
need
true.
A droid.
That's true. Yeah.
That's called Monopoly, if I've ever heard one.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, right? Like, all the computers don't have user interfaces, right? They don't have screens and keyboards and input devices. It's just like a computer with no input or output device. You
right.
need a droid
you
to be the input and output.
Yeah, that's a shady deal in Monopoly, if I've ever heard one.
It is a shady deal.
I do like the AT-STs, I think, more than the AT-ATs.
No, I like the AT-ATs better.
Even though, logically, they don't make as much sense. Like, they're clearly waiting to get tipped over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I guess not really, though, because if they are puppets, they could stand on their own.
They're not really puppets. Well, yeah, they can't stand on their own.
They're,
they're like stop motion.
Stop motion, yeah.
But yes, I know what you mean. Yes, yeah, they are able to stand on their own. But they do look a little top heavy.
Yes.
Right? Where the AT-ATs seem more balanced. I like the way the AT-ATs move more, personally, that they move more like an animal, like a dog or something.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do. That's a good way of putting it. They do move like an animal or like an ostrich.
AT-STs do.
Oh, I thought you said AT-STs.
No. AT-ATs. AT-ATs move like a dog. Yes, ostrich is good.
Very slow dog.
Ostrich is good, though, for the AT-STs. Yes,
I think they
like,
have backwards joints on their legs like an ostrich.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you might be right. We'll see when they come back. Yeah.
Do.
But yeah, and they have like, you know, ostriches are basically a big ball of feathers on two skinny legs.
Right.
And that's kind of what AT-STs look like.
Yeah,
too.
They're a big ball of feathers, right?
Right, yeah, feathers, yeah.
Feathers look like metal in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Nailed it. He kind of crosses his eyes there a little bit. He's like,
Yeah.
Fire it will, Commander. I wonder what the rest of the buttons do.
And this is the same stock footage from A New Hope.
I know. It's so great. Fire. Except for that guy. Fire.
Right, but everything else.
It's a new beam, too.
It is a new beam.
So that's powerful. I feel like a beam that could destroy a whole planet would definitely destroy all of those ships.
Well, they didn't fire that beam.
All of it.
Which
they,
was
they
probably
fired
their
beams. Oh, that's a good point.
Which was probably their mistake.
That. Yeah, really. Maybe that's like a one-shot deal, though, with that beam. I bet you it takes a lot to recharge.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of those, like, the system goes into like a low power mode.
Yeah.
You know, for
as
a while.
Someone who's played dozens of video games, I know how this works.
Yeah, obviously.
Obviously.
Obviously, when you punch when you punch people, they eventually start blinking red.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's totally how that works.
Yeah, that's how life works.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Just like that stormtrooper, he's about to blink red. Be careful.
Unless
yeah.
you plug in a game
Sometimes
genie.
Sometimes it's less of a
lives.
Blink and more of a flow. You know, when it's not red everywhere, it seems to fall out in pieces, but it's the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And right before you die, everything looks red to you.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Your vision blinks red.
Yeah.
Yeah. there's a lot going for it there. Oh, no, R2. Maybe R2 should have died at that moment.
Yeah. I just never, I mean, honestly, by all accounts, he probably should have.
Yeah. If this was not Star Wars, he probably would have. Because that's a great character death at that moment, you know? And yeah. Helga Han's like, well, droid's down. I guess I can hardwire this thing.
It's like why didn't you do that in the before. First place?
I guess it's faster with R2.
Yeah, I guess so.
That would be my assumption. Like if R, because R2 probably would have had it open in a second or two. Oh, look, there are casualties.
Yeah, that's true.
What
there
about
are.
To see one. This is actually quite sad. This is Rancor all over again.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
Yeah.
But this one
but
makes more
of
sense.
A necessity.
Yeah.
Dad? Dad, come on, get up. Yeah.
Bambi.
Lion King. No, it's mom. It's
oh,
mom
yeah.
Nice.
Or, yeah.
You don't see the death of the mom. Well, you hear it, but you don't see it.
Yeah.
Because of the Hays Motion Picture Act.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Couldn't show stuff like that on screen. That's as if you watch like original monster movies, you never see Dracula actually kill anybody
uh-huh.
or anything. It's
uh-huh.
just suggested. Yeah, but we know that Dracula kills people on a football field, don't we? Or a soccer field, whatever kind of field.
Whatever
we had.
It was.
Sport field. Yeah. Oh, no. Kaboom. That made such a tiny explosion. That ship is huge. Like, if you really think of it that, like,
yeah.
the scale of those two things.
Yeah. Enormous.
There's a lot of black in this scene. He's wearing, like, they're all
everyone's
wearing.
Black.
Everyone's in black. And it's a black background. It's very oppressive
mm-hmm.
looking footage. The only light really comes from the panels and stuff like that. The buttons and whatever.
Oh,
yeah,
I see.
Yeah,
what you mean. Yeah. That's right.
An arbitrary light coming out of the windows from space for no reason.
For no reason.
Yeah.
I like how the Emperor, like, feeds off of his anger. Like, he feels
like a video game.
Yes.
Yes. No, I agree. It's like a wraith that way.
Yes.
Just like, yeah.
I can feel
well, the,
your
the
anger.
Black. The black robe thing is interesting because it's almost like this. It's just classic imagery of death,
mm-hmm.
you know, where death is in a black robe coming for you, but instead of a scythe, he's got a lightsaber.
That's
basically the Emperor's ensemble. And so he's feeding off of your fear and your ill will and all of this anger. And then that's when he gets you. So the Emperor is, in fact, death.
Very astute, Tim.
Thank you. That is probably right up there with my Vader's a slave. And he always like he was born a slave, and
mm-hmm.
he dies a free man.
Subservient.
But he's subservient as part of his nature,
yes.
and that's why he's so. That's why he falls to the Emperor so quickly.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's right up there with that observation.
Yeah, no, it's good.
I can observe things about the Sith. Nothing else, though.
I like it. So the AT-ST does have the backwards joint going on. So you were right about that.
Oh, sweet.
And also, I always thought
that cockpit,
that the bucket helmets that these guys wear, it's like the outside of Vader's helmet without the mask part. It's just like the.
Yeah, that's so
true. The bucket part.
Maybe they're part of Vader's fan club.
Yeah, that's probably
or
what
Dark
it is.
Dark Helmet's fan club. Either one.
It's probably what it is.
I haven't seen Spaceballs in a long time.
Yeah, man.
We should absolutely watch Spaceballs sometime and talk about it.
Let's talk about that. Yeah, that's great.
Around Star Wars, that would actually be a good topic.
I'm down.
About Spaceballs.
Love that movie.
Yeah. Yahoo!
Yogurt.
Yeah. Go-gurt. Greek yogurt. I was totally right about that ostrich thing.
Yeah, you were. That was a good observation. I wonder now, looking at it, I wonder if ostriches were an inspiration for like the way the AT-STs look and move.
I want to say yes. Backwards joints, ostrich or flamingos, something like that.
Oh, yeah, flamingos too.
Yeah, because I can't really think of anything else because it's clearly a bird-type design. Even the way the cannons kind of jut out like a little beak type thing.
Mm.
You'd be dead.
So much pain.
Yeah. That you would not be dead. You're wearing armor.
Guys. Yeah.
I don't think their armor is very good. I think that's really what it comes down to. It's like, it's faux armor. Mm-hmm. It's meant to, I think it's meant to scare you more than, like, oh, the idea of the stormtrooper, more than the actual, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're supposed to look menacing and be scary.
Yeah, I think, that, yeah.
Whoops.
Boom. Damn it, Stormtrooper. She was wide open. Like, jeez. You know, it's funny because when I was a kid, I never noticed that they have terrible shots.
Yeah, neither did I. Like, yeah. They're bad.
It's bad. It's really bad. Like, they're just rebels. Just shoot them right now.
Okay, another thing. So by the same token, by the same reason that maybe people wouldn't notice that the Emperor looked totally different in this movie than he did in the previous one, because, okay, I haven't seen it in 3 years, and so in my mind, I remember it the same way.
Han's hair. No.
Nope. The I love you.
Why would it grow in carbonite?
I love you, I know.
Yeah.
The I love you, I know thing. The symmetry there of first Leia said I love you and Han said I know, and now here's the reverse.
Yeah.
I feel like that is only appreciated in rewatch value. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, I agree.
It would be hard to have seen the movie, seen Emperor.
Vader's really lucky.
Emperor
strikes
back.
Limbs off.
Yeah, it's true.
Again,
it's true.
At that moment,
I totally did it on purpose. It was the Force.
I think I love you. I know is pretty iconic though, and it might have been iconic without rewatchability. Yeah,
maybe. I wonder if it was. I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Their choreography is quite good in this. I was like, while they were fighting on the stairs right there. His backward flip is like classic Wires, but
yeah, you could tell it was on Wires, but that's okay.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a force like fall, like he tried to right himself with the force.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's how you justify it. Yeah,
this is also really the first time you see Vader like disheveled. Like, when,
oh yeah, yeah, this is the first time that he's not dealing from a position of strength.
Yeah, nope, he fixed his cape. You know, he took time to fix it.
He's a man of fashion, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, Vader, he can move much better in this than he could in either of the other two movies.
Luke is still doing the two-handed thing, though. He's holding on with two hands for the most part.
Vader.
That's true.
The only time you see Vader fight one-handed is when he doesn't have time for you.
Yeah.
Because he fought Obi-Wan two-handed, if you think of it that way.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. But he fought Luke with one hand in Empire, but you're right. He did. He
but
was
he
like,
eventually switched
he had the upper
to
hand.
Two. He eventually switched to two once
you're
Luke
right.
proved to be kind of a problem. Yeah. Yeah, that backwards flip was always such a thrill when I was a kid.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Such like a hint of what the Jedi could do. Fight really well choreographed battles. I like how the Emperor actually stands up for this. Like, he's like, this is too good. I'm not missing this. No. My knees are going to hurt tomorrow, but it's worth it, you know. I could actually say that in my Emperor voice. Oh, my knees are going to hurt tomorrow, boys, but, you know, these puppies be howling, but...
These puppies be howling.
These organic adats be howling. Come on, Donald, buddy. Don't let me down.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hey, look, video comms.
Yeah, look at that. Oh, it's
video
like FaceTime.
Not a hologram... They're very happy. They're like, we'll send two squads to help. Where were you two squads outside before? Like, why were you inside? Might have won the day with those two squads outside. Just saying. Now.
Oh, boy.
They're all still holding spears, so if I was a stormtrooper, I would just start shooting. Right?
Yeah, I probably would too. But you know what? Stormtroopers are stupid.
Yeah, because they only go through a week of training.
Yep, exactly. They get 1 week basic training, and that's it.
Yep.
All right, you're on the front lines now, buddy.
I thought we were going to boot camp.
No, can't afford it. No, you are just human shields.
Yep, for Vader.
You are fodder for Vader.
He doesn't actually need. Yeah.
You are fodder for Vader, who's the fodder.
Whoa.
Your father.
Mumble jokes.
This is beautiful cinematography here.
Yes, it is.
And even like his face half in shadow and half in the light is mm-hmm. symbolic, you know?
With the blue. I like the blue particularly.
Yeah.
This idea of serenity.
Yeah.
Mixing in with the match. And It's interesting also that Vader knows he had a son.
Uh-huh.
But not a daughter. Like, I get the idea of splitting twins.
Well, he didn't know that it was twins. He didn't know
it
was twins.
Right, so why would you assume that it was a son?
I don't follow you.
So he knew he had one kid on the way.
Right, and he knows that Luke is that one kid.
Right, but how did he know that it was Luke as a boy and not a girl? You know what I mean?
He didn't, but when he came across him,
oh,
he
said,
this is
the son of Skywalker.
Right.
Right.
So, but he thought up until now that that was his only child.
No. I get all of that. Mm-hmm. I just mean that.
But
like,
it was never. Okay, I see what you're saying. But
yeah,
but it was only
your answer cleared it up though. So
okay.
I'm good. Yeah. Because he didn't think he had any
right
that were alive until
yes.
he. Yeah.
Met Luke.
Yeah.
This scene, and especially that scene we just saw of him, like
yes, quite good
under the staircase and everything. Oh man,
I agree. This unleashed fury. Yeah. I do love a good James Earl Jones ADR. Yeah. Good. I wanted to redecorate this room anyway.
he calls in his interior decorator.
Yeah. This window goes there. That one goes there. Got it. Good.
Excellent. Yeah.
From what I've seen, I would not want to hang out with the Emperor. Take your father's place at my side. Like why would you think that's going to work?
I'm right here. I can hear you.
Yeah. This is nice, too. This idea, like, it doesn't even register in anybody's mind until that moment. Because he's made so many references. He's more machine now than man. You know, Obi-Wan saying so many things. But
yes.
You don't really get to see that, like, how much of him is actually machine.
Yes.
It's good. Because really the only thing you've seen before this and after this is his head.
Yeah.
So as all you know, he's basically just a head in a robot body.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't know what's real and what's
costume,
not.
Like, in a suit. Like, we don't know how much of him really is robot.
Right, exactly. Now, the Force doesn't work through his robot appendages, though, right?
It does. It's... Like, if he holds out his robot hand and tries to move something, it moves. Or if he chokes someone with a hand.
He chokes people with his right hand, and because that's the one that got cut off. It's his right hand, yeah.
But I'm saying,
I'm asking
matters.
You, yeah.
I think it doesn't matter which hand he's using. It's not like, oh, this is a robot hand, so I can't use the Force with this hand. Like, that's not how it works.
Oh, okay. Because I know the EU reason why Vader doesn't have Force lightning like the Emperor does right here. Is that's gonna hurt so bad? Is because
don't
he's
tase
got,
me, bro.
Is because he's got robot appendages, and so he'd short
circuit.
Yeah,
I don't
his,
buy that.
Yeah, so
I don't buy that. Also, the Emperor looks pretty young. Like
he looks very young.
Look,
yeah, he looks kind of
young
there. Yeah,
yeah. Maybe because we're seeing more of like he's in less shadow there than he has been before.
Yeah.
No, I don't really buy that. I think of it more of as he's just not on that level of having that kind of power yet, or knowing how to harness the Force at that point. Also. It's like, well, he doesn't need to because he has a weapon, so he's been using that weapon instead.
Right, where you don't see the Emperor use a lightsaber, but you can you see the Emperor use a lightsaber
in episode three, and then once the lightsaber is gone, then he uses lightning.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
He doesn't use lightning if he has a lightsaber.
Yeah.
You're right. Okay.
I don't think that the...
What if lightning takes a lot of dark energy?
Yeah.
Like, it takes a lot of sheer force of will that Vader doesn't have. Like,
could be.
He's too, even as Vader, he's too impatient, so he doesn't, I'm just not interested, you
know?
Could be.
You will die.
Smirk.
Oh, that smirk.
It's gonna hurt.
I mean, you can see the look, like, you can see Vader's thought process somehow, even though it's a mask, just from his body language, the way he looks from one to the other. It's amazing how you can see him, like...
Oh, the lightning in the teeth thing always gets me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but you can see it in Vader's body language, you're
like,
right.
Oh.
And so this coming, no!
I could have done without, but...
It's unnecessary. It's all in his body language.
Yeah, it was unnecessary.
Nobody in the theater went, oh my God, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't see that coming.
I also love how the
you can see his skull.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably because he's... I would assume because he touched him. I was wondering why the Emperor explodes... Here.
Because he fell into a nuclear reactor.
It seems like a weird place to have your office.
Yeah, well. He was a word guy.
I guess he's also just visiting. It's not really where he's going to be all the time.
True.
Yeah.
But he did put the tower there, presumably for himself to use.
Yep. So, when he visited.
For when he visits, yeah. Yeah, but I like that you can see his face through the mask when the lightning strikes him.
Yeah, but you're right. The no is absolutely unnecessary.
It's unnecessary. That's one of the changes that I'm just like, why, guys? Come on.
Yeah, it just seems
George,
like,
come on.
Like, what if he yelled no here? Like,
yeah, it's like, come on. Just because he did it, because they had some leftover takes of him saying no from episode 3, and they were like, well, I think this would be a good place for it. And I don't agree.
No, that's the, above anything else in any of these movies with changes or anything like that, for whatever reason, that's the one that always gets
that
me.
That one annoys me.
Just because I find it, like, it's not, it doesn't change anything. It's just it's an unnecessary.
It's very noticeable and not necessary.
Yeah. And so, like, sometimes the CG characters are unnecessary and noticeable.
Yes.
But it's different because this is a character. It's not superfluous, like, background stuff.
Yep.
Like, this is a character that you have changed. Or, like, Vader doesn't scream out his emotions.
Yeah. It's,
or he
it's,
shouldn't.
Yeah.
He does twice.
It's a big change. It's a big change.
Yeah, Vader at this point in his life is introspective. For him to yell out no is counterintuitive.
Yeah, it doesn't work for me. I have to say that sequence we were just watching,
mm-hmm. of them flying through,
like, for 1983, that was mind blowing. Like, that was, you know, the coolest thing anyone had ever seen up to that point in time. Of like, them doing so many maneuvers and twisting and turning and flying up and down and around.
Admiral
Piet. Oh boy,
I like Admiral Piet.
Yeah, well, no one else did. But do you know what I mean? Like, that is unbelievable. 1983 dogfighting right there.
Yeah, I agree. That's good acting on Admiral Akbar's part
too.
Yes,
it is.
That slump in a chair.
Love that superstar destroyer impacting there.
Mm-hmm.
Always loved that.
Well done. I think this is some stock footage of.
I think it might be
from
episode 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, pretty sure it was. I know nobody's like stopping to be like, hey, look, what's happening over there?
What is that guy doing?
Yeah. No, it's interesting, the little pop I have of Jedi Luke Skywalker has that little flap hanging down.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it doesn't come with him. Like, it's like disheveled Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's the one they went with.
That's
but,
interesting.
Yeah, you can see it on the shelf over there.
I do see it on the shelf over there, yeah. I always thought it was interesting that pops down and there's a little bit of white, and it's like, you know, he's black, he's dark, he's turning, he's almost tempted by the dark side.
Interested,
and then a little peak of white because he's turning good again.
Oh, how very interesting. I've never thought about it like,
you like that
before. Yeah,
yeah,
I like that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so symbolic, so good.
There's a lot of symbolism in this movie of that type.
I want to say Vader looks so goofy without that top hat.
He looks like one of the TIE fighter pilots, like the masks that they wear.
Yeah, oh, that's a good point. Yeah, it's very strange. No
Sebastian
eyebrows,
Shaw.
Sebastian Shaw.
Sebastian Shaw.
I do like the editing to his face that they did on this, though, because... like, maybe his eyebrows wouldn't have gone back, and he clearly hasn't seen the sun in, you know,
that's true,
almost 30 years.
Yes.
So he would be that white. I did enjoy that very
much.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Though Vader, I think, is, in relation to, like, out with the time period, I think Sebastian Shaw is too old.
Yes, I think that he does look too old, but you could, or, I mean, I agree with that, absolutely know that about it, but I guess you could make an argument that, you know, his condition has aged him differently.
Yes, I would agree with that. Yeah.
But I know, yeah. My first thought was that Hayden Christensen looked too young to, in 20, 30 years, look like this. It didn't quite.
What do you mean? Oh, you mean like Hayden Christensen in 20, 30 years wouldn't turn into that?
Yes.
Yes, I agree with that.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Said there are consequences to the Star Wars universe.
Mm-hmm.
If you're evil and then good, you die.
Yes.
I wonder what Sebastian Shaw is like, what the rest of his body looks like, you know?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, we won't see in this because it's going to be Force Ghost Hayden Christensen.
Right.
That doesn't bother me because...
Let's wait till we get there.
Okay.
I don't want to talk about it right now.
It's just going to depress me through the rest of the movie.
I think that this
like, is gorgeous.
Yeah.
This whole thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous.
What game was it? What video game was it where you got to play this scene? It was something.
Was it the Pod Racer game?
No, no, no.
It was one of the flying games, right?
Yeah, it was. And it was something number two. I can't remember. Rogue Squadron 2, maybe? Or
oh, yeah, that would make sense.
Or something like that. I can't remember
which
one it was.
I don't remember. But I was never very good at those.
I was really bad at this scene in the game. Oh, yeah. Whatever game was.
That's because you never fought in the Battle of Teneb.
No, I didn't. No one heard about how I fought in the Battle of Teneb.
That's right,
so close to losing the Falcon here.
Yeah, but this is the playing on that, like, last time I'll see her thing.
Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah!
That's good.
Yeah.
Wonder if anybody got hit in the fleet by that blast in the middle right there.
Yeah, oh yeah, the good guys, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. They were in the wrong place at the wrong time. If they were on fleet.
Hey, everybody's happy.
Everyone is happy.
Everything is cool when you're part of an Ewok. When you're part of a tribe.
This is so, okay. So, like, she can feel he's not there. The way Han responds, again, doesn't quite work for me. You love him, don't you?
Yeah, like, well, he's kind of playing off of that, like, well, he's still remembering, like...
Yeah, I know. And I think that just, like, that conversation didn't make sense, this one doesn't make sense to me. Because, like...
No, I mean, he's still playing off of the, like, he remembers when she kissed Luke and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah,
like,
maybe that. Yeah, okay, okay.
Yeah. And so, but I was curious that, like, she's now like, I'll just tell him now. You know, like, yesterday, less than 24 hours ago, was not the right time,
but now
it's the
right
time.
He's my brother. Well, I mean, she's come to terms with it, I guess. I don't know, but
yeah,
like,
and
he's
Han,
my brother.
Han's,
he's
Han's,
like, yeah, I know you love him like a brother, but.
That's the moment where he's like,
oh,
incestuous.
Awesome.
You totally kissed him.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with it because I'm Han Solo.
I like how he's like, that's awesome. He's your brother. Oh, my God. That's amazing. I don't have to compete with him now.
Wicked, you're so cute now.
Yeah.
I hated you before, but now I love you.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Everything is great.
Everything
or awesome.
Is awesome. Yep, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool. I like this idea of Luke going off on his own before even rejoining everybody else. Mm-hmm. Like, his first act is to go...
Do the whole funeral pyre thing.
Yeah, and presumably, I'm going to think that he learned that this is traditional burial for a Jedi.
I think so, too. I think he is carrying out traditional Jedi.
He's honoring his father.
And not knowing that, like, when we first saw this movie, like, to me, I was like, well, that's a weird thing to do to a body.
Could have buried it.
Right, but now, having seen... The other films,
episode
seeing,
one,
yeah,
when you see Qui-Gon, because I remember seeing
exactly.
I remember seeing episode one and going, oh,
now it
yeah.
makes sense, yeah,
yep.
I don't love what they did to the ending either.
All the places celebrating,
so I don't mind that so much actually. Like seeing, you know, oh, there's Coruscant celebrating, and there's that's fine, I guess. It's
that's
a little
Cloud
overdone.
City.
That's Cloud City. You're right, but they're gonna show Coruscant in a second.
Yes, they are. Yes, it's a little overdone. I'm going to agree with you because, one, it's too widespread. It's like literally
the
every
whole,
place that we visited. That's a beautiful shot.
We set free.
I didn't see Gunga's on top of it there right now. That's funny.
Yeah. There's
Coruscant.
I think that it's a little over the top and a little too much. But actually, that's not even what I mean. I like it, but I would have liked a little less of it.
They toppling
the statue. Yeah.
That was before its time.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, if you really think about
it. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But I mean more that I miss Yub Nub.
I don't miss Yub Nub. I've heard it before. I don't think that I don't think it's celebratory enough. Yeah. I don't think the song is celebratory enough.
Okay.
It's too subtle. Yeah, but
I just think that this song sounds like so much like a pop song. And then that doesn't make sense anymore.
No,
with the,
it doesn't.
The bucket
no,
heads.
That I agree with. That bothers me.
Doesn't fit the song anymore.
No. Yeah. Though I will say their excitement is pretty extra. Like it's quite good.
Oh, yeah.
On this scene, lots of hugs all around. You didn't really get that before.
I made it.
My thing is white now.
Yeah. Everyone noticed that I'm a better person.
I'm good now.
I was really good before, but now I'm great.
Yeah. No, it's. But you know what? I just this is. I'm getting chills right now. Like this is still. This makes me so happy.
It's a great.
It's a great ending. It's a happy ending. The good guys won. The Empire is done.
There's an extended scene looking at Wedge. I like this. Yeah. I like that.
And there's and here we go. And that should be Sebastian Shaw, but that's fine. Whatever. That's still Sebastian Shaw's body, though.
That's oh, just, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay, so here's a couple of things that I dislike about this, and I'll explain why I like it. How's this?
Okay.
Okay, so I dislike it because, especially now that you said it's Sebastian Shaw's body, at least I know what he looks like now. But Anakin never wore traditional Jedi robes, so he has no business being in those traditional Jedi robes at that moment.
Yeah.
Okay, so there. The second reason that I dislike it is because... Well, I guess this is double because I guess it's the same reason why I like it. But there's that's not what you looked like when you died. But that's Yoda, and that's
Obi-Wan. Well, you've heard the counter argument to this, right?
Is that it's that it's like your pure form.
It's what you looked like the last time you were like
a good
like
person.
When Anakin Skywalker died, that's what he looked like.
He became Darth Vader.
Except you could make the argument. That at the end of the movie there.
Yes, that's right.
He redeemed himself, so that's what he looked like when he died.
Right.
And I personally buy that argument, and I think that's why it made sense for Sebastian Shaw to be there.
Yes, I agree. That's a better argument. But I do like the idea of it like you look like the last time you were of the light side, or totally of the light side, I guess. But he wasn't, I don't know. But the reason I do like it is because there's very little of the prequels that feels like it's, you know what I mean? Like sometimes they feel like two just separate entities.
Yeah. And so having them cross over like that, it feels a little strange to me.
Yeah, but I like the idea of bridging them together.
Okay.
It's supposed to be one big story.
I mean, it is.
And
it
so,
is one big, it's like, it's one big movie.
Right. So I like the idea of them bridged together.
No, I get it. Whatever, I go back and forth.
I go back and forth. I really would prefer Sebastian Shaw.
Me too.
Because I mean, even because from Luke's standpoint, he like looks at that guy and goes, "Who the hell are you?"
Yeah,
it's like context clues leads me to believe that you're my father.
Yeah, exactly.
I was raised on a farm, so I'm not really good with the context clues. Yeah, well, I still haven't gotten those power converters.
Yeah. And I think that's where we're going to leave it.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for joining us for 6 Star Wars films this year. The year of Star Wars is almost finished. We roll on. We will wrap it up with our review and our reactions to Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. But thank you guys so much. It's been a real blast. Any chance to watch Star Wars, my buddy Tim is always a good time. So thank you, buddy, for being part of this. It's been great.
Thank you. It sounds like we're ending Beer with Geeks.
You didn't want to tell them that?
Nah, just kidding.
We'll be back.
We'll
be back soon.
All right.
But thank you guys very much. And we'll be back soon. So until then, cheers.